across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Take a trip into the alternate reality of Late Night Radio.
I think I'm in something like The Matrix, and so are you.
Speech Radio. Give a difference.
Is there anybody out there?
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I've got my own trailer.
I know.
I mean, when did this happen?
You've arrived, mate.
I literally was booked on the cab on the way here, and you've already knocked that up.
You know, we don't mess around on Talk Radio. Actually, that's not true.
Yeah, I've heard the show, Kat. But don't go selling that as an idea. Well, look, it's 2 minutes past ten, and here we all are. If you have tuned in expecting Ian Lee, I can only apologise. And I've got a feeling that that sentiment of apology may reverberate throughout the week. The good news is Kath is here as well.
Yeah, well, or the bad news, depending on which of our particular fans you are.
Well, I see, as a listener, I would say I've definitely lucked out here. If I was sat looking across over at Ian, I think I would feel in less safe hands.
Well, I can't disagree with that.
Well, look, everyone, here's the God's honest truth. We've looked through the papers. I, of late, have stopped reading them altogether. There is nothing in there apart from propaganda and lies to make you scared. Even breasts, which used to be a mainstay of the British publishing news. British publishing news. It's a great start. I'm linking sentences together like a young Oscar Wilde.
Well, I think what you're saying is they look scared these days.
Even the breasts look scared. And rightly so, because it's cold out, so put some clothes on. That's definitely the point, you know, you're getting older. I drive at night home from, you know, everything I do is entertainment, so I work nights. And then on a Friday you go past and the lines of the clubs and the young ladies outside, and the only thought in my head is nothing erotic, simply put some clothes on. You will catch your death.
I was that soldier once upon a time, but these days, no, I prefer a cardigan, something sensible. Yeah. I mean, those shoes for a start.
Oh, you've got to have a rubberized sole, because you could slip. You
know, and I did.
As it gets icier. But you're from the north, aren't you meant to be?
I am, yeah, but I moved down south when I was 10, so I think I might have gone a little bit soft.
Yeah, no.
But I do remember...
11 years ago.
Oh, you're going to... Honestly, can you stay?
Well, for the next 3 hours at least, because I've got a feeling that there's nobody awake to come in and take over as the tumultuous reality of my stewardship becomes all too apparent. But yeah, look, it's the first one. I think I'm here for 2 weeks at least, maybe three, time will tell. And that will largely be defined by you, the listener. We're operating Ian's rules, which are you ring in, we'll talk about anything you want. As I started saying, look through the paper, chuff all in them. There's no news, really. There's just Church decides to be half-decent about people and making personal choices.
Yeah.
Some people are going off to do a reality television show. That's not news.
No, they're trying to stretch the Kevin Spacey thing on by... Today, there's no horrible revelation or allegation against him, apart from the fact that apparently he sat on the Queen's throne when she wasn't looking.
What?
I think, you know.
What?
In the grand scheme of things.
The Queen! God save our gracious Queen! What this is? I thought it was bad that he had allegedly molested minors. But his backside has defiled the seat of power in this country.
How very dare he. But you would, wouldn't you?
Well, I know a few people who worked at Buckingham Palace once they opened it up for tourism.
Oh, yeah.
And rest assured, the people that have the keys to the place at a Christmas party are doing more than sitting on the throne, my friends. They are conducting a coronation, not holding a scepter, but holding something similarly formed.
Wow, if the Daily Mail is listening, there's going to be outrage tomorrow. It'll be front page.
I will point out, this revelation was made to be about people who worked there many moons ago.
Oh.
And I'm sure they are running nothing but a tight and professional organisation that wouldn't dare to have people making out on a big gold chair. Yeah, so Kevin Spacey, I mean, this is now the problem, isn't it? We have been encouraged to live our lives permanently staring at screens. Mm-hmm. We've lost all track of genuine human interaction, and I say that fully aware of the irony that I am coming to you across a giant mast miles from your house that is beaming gamma rays through concrete so that you can hear this waffle. But
you know that's not how digital works, right?
Is it not?
No. But, you know, they are listening on their phones, so fair play.
Now, hang on a second. Are people actually listening to this?
Well...
Is this a thought experiment? Have I gone mad? I thought digital radio was still broadcast over the thing, but are we just on the internet?
There isn't a map. We're on the internet and we're on DAB.
Yeah, DAB is still radio masts.
No, I don't think it is.
It is.
It's ones and zeros, isn't it?
It's ones and zeros.
Sam knows because he's younger than us.
It's ones and zeros, but broadcast over radio waves.
No, I don't think there's radio waves involved.
There are radio waves involved.
If you know better, 03-459-455-555, because I'm at the extent... My knowledge of this is fully stretched. I just know there's ones and zeros involved.
Here's what I think I know.
Go on.
And I am more than happy. Let this also be the clarion call for our time together. I will say all sorts of things about which I am certain, and the odds of that being in any way related to the fact of the matter are very slim.
Do you know what, Rufus? You're going to fit in just fine.
So if you know more than I, and you almost certainly do, always feel free to call and correct me. Because if we don't put ourselves out there as people who are prepared to be wrong, who are prepared to learn from our fellow man, then we are part of the problem and not part of the solution. And why does talk radio exist if not to improve humankind?
And sell adverts.
So, let's improve one another. Let this be a multicoloured swap shop of ideas, love, humanity and kindness. So when do we play a record?
No, there's no record.
What?
But what you
oh
have got...
Oh, my God! How do we fill the time? How do we fill...
Is anyone ringing up?
Yeah, Alan Caddick.
Well, he's quite a decent filler.
He's filler?
Yeah. If we were going to keep the record analogy going...
Yeah.
He is... American Pie, if you want.
Oh.
You could go out and have a poo and come back and you'd still be talking.
Well, Alan, you've been likened to the human equivalent of taking a poo. How does that make you feel?
About 03-444-991-1000.
You could? What, you feel that I haven't already given the phone number?
You gave the wrong number.
I gave the wrong number?
It's 03-444-499-1000.
Now, what I'm going to ask, Alan, I know you're a regular listener, a first-time caller.
No,
I joke. It's all right, that was a little amuse oreille, if you will, Alan. But why don't you just stay on the line for the next 3 hours, and every time I have to say the phone number, I'll just throw to you.
Well, don't, because he will. And do you remember, Alan, that time you were on for an hour and... Well, you won't remember it, Alan, because you were asleep. We kept Alan on the line, waiting for long enough that he fell asleep, and we could hear him snoring, so...
I'll be right back in the top of the whole show, Kath.
Yeah, pretty much. All the way through...
I saw a documentary.
All the way through the news, all the way through the adverts.
Yeah. Oh, that is glorious.
I mean, his contribution that night was spectacular.
Although...
He made a podcast.
Did.
There was a podcast just of Alan sleeping. Are you the inspiration for the new John Lewis Christmas advert, Alan?
I was sort of a new Sainsbury's advert tonight.
A new face?
The Sainsbury's advert.
Oh, I've not seen it. Any good?
Sing along to karaoke. Oh.
Sounds good. Alan, if you could now please recount shot by shot the new Sainsbury's ad. And because, as you said, what are we here for if not, A, to improve the lot of humanity through kindness, love and strength, and B, sell advertising. I've got a feeling, as Sainsbury's sales spike tomorrow, and the marketing office all get together and say, what brought this about? And they realise it was Alan doing a shot by shot recount of their new Christmas ad. I think we're going to see a lot more money rolling into the talk radio coffers. So, Alan.
Basically.
We open, right? Shot one. Where are we?
It's a young child playing the piano singing, every bit of And then it goes on to various people singing.
Alan, I'm going to have to... I want to get this right. And I've got a feeling people at home want to hear this done properly. I missed the song. And I'm not saying that's a failure of you. There is no expectation of you to be a trained singer or a musician of any kind. But well, what was the song you were singing?
It's called Every Bit of Christmas.
And it is a Sainsbury's original song.
Yeah, because it's got everybody singing about what they think is the best bit of Christmas to go with their slogan, Christmas is living well.
Christmas is living well. Well, living well is their whole shtick, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, all right, so Every Bit of Christmas. Just by the by, Alan, do you know Sainsbury's have started their own record label?
I heard something about that. Otherwise, they haven't got the monkeys on there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they've basically bought the rights to a load of old albums.
Have they?
Because the vinyl boom is happening, they've re-released a load of old albums on vinyl. But the irony of that is, the albums that they've released on vinyl are exactly the kind of albums that you can normally get in a charity shop for about 50 pence.
Is it Cliff Richard?
It's...
I don't knock it.
I'm not. It's just that I do go through the vinyl bins quite regularly, and there's always quite a lot of Cliff in there.
Quite a lot of Cliff, quite a lot of Montevardi.
Mm. Well, I'm not listening, because I've got a Christmas present sorted, and it is Cliff.
Is it? Did you find it in the bargain bin?
No, going on online.
Oh.
So, hang on, is that a Cliff Christmas album, a specific Cliff Christmas, a very Cliffy Christmas or something? No, Merry Cliffmas. It's got to be called Merry Cliffmas.
Surely.
It's got to be called Merry Cliffmas.
No, it's his new album called Stronger Than All Of That, and they've even got the Cliff Richard calendar as well.
What, thrown in as a bonus, or is that an additional present?
Additional, because I'm combining the two.
You are all generosity this year, Alan.
And I haven't even got my dad yet.
Oh, screw him. He can share the calendar. I'm sure they'll both get a lot of joy from it.
My dad's not Cliff Richard fan, my mum is.
Oh.
And also,
what's your dad into?
The allotment.
Just the he's your mum's in charge of the stereo, and that's put your dad off all music.
He's in charge of going out.
Yeah. Oh, this is on again, is it? She's just a devil woman. I'll be at the allotment if you need me. Right, so there's a young girl. I feel like we've strayed from the big stuff here tonight. There's a young girl. She's at a piano and she's singing. And if we could hear it one more time, Alan.
Every bit of. That's the opening
right.
line.
Shot two. Where are we? Build the world.
Well, it's all various people thinking about Turkey.
No, various people's not going to cut it, Alan. I need a shot-by-shot breakdown here.
Well, I've only seen the advert once, so I need to digest it myself.
All right, well, look, we're here for ages, right? I mean, can't
where's
be that... It's not going to be non-stop people phoning in. Where's Ian?
He's right. Yeah.
Well, we're not allowed to say, but look, let's just say this. Plastic surgery has quite a long recovery period. And I'm not saying he's having plastic surgery, and I'm not saying he's having hair replacement surgery, but if a man, as he gets older, starts to realise the hair on his back isn't as thick as it once was, then maybe there are certain procedures where you can bring back a gorilla-like lustre to your view from behind.
All we're saying is...
doing celebrity juice.
Or he could be doing celebrity juice.
A life swap.
I don't think they don't film that on a Monday night. So, I mean, if he is.
But that's what they told you.
That's what they told me 5 years ago. Yeah. And I keep turning up on a Wednesday and no one there.
I've actually been to see celebrity juice filmed once.
I missed that, Alan, once more.
I've actually been to see celebrity juice filmed once.
How long ago?
It was the very first Tech Santa special they did, with Davina McCall, Aston Merigold, Lewis Smith, Stacey Solomon and Simon Gregson.
Well, I mean, that's a hell of a line. I mean, that is a... Who was in the magazine?
It was the Chuckle Brothers.
Ah.
Classic.
You're not getting better than that.
No.
You are not getting better than that.
No wonder they stopped it. They won.
Yeah, that was it. They topped out. Alan, you've rung... if you would please familiarise yourself shot by shot with the Sainsbury's advert and ring back up for people. There are people, I'm certain, who are listening to the radio only because they don't have a television. And why should it be fair that they miss out?
They could do a search on YouTube. Sainsbury's Christmas advert 2017.
But some people are lazy, Alan. And you are not a lazy man. You're a man who thrives on joining in, of interacting, of sharing his unique point of view of the world with
well,
the world.
I wanted to share my point of view about the documentary that Kath did.
Oh, yes.
Right.
I found it was really good.
Hang on, Alan.
Why do you
there
sound
may
surprised?
Be people, there may be people who've missed it. So, for those who don't know, Kath.
If you go to the Rabbit Hole YouTube channel, we have got a very serious documentary behind the scenes of this programme, which shows Ian being Ian and me doing all the work.
And Sam.
And, of course, Sam doing as he's told. But apart from that, it's only half an hour, so have a look at it. Alan likes it and sounds surprised about that, which is always a great endorsement.
Yeah, I only got to see you up close and personal for the first time, and quite different to what I expected.
Not a lot angrier.
A lot calmer.
A lot calmer. It's a hell of a compliment to pay a woman. You're a lot calmer than I expected. But that does rather imply that most of the time you meet women, they're like,
I wasn't calling the police.
No.
Yeah, right.
But you enjoyed the documentary. I mean, let's be honest, Alan, a behind the scenes of a late night radio phone-in show, that is a documentary that could have been made solely for your viewing pleasure. If you're not the person who enjoys it, then its reach is likely to be narrow.
But there is one question. Why did you leave Ian hanging for the high five?
Oh, that. Oh, he does that every day. I mean, it gets a bit old, doesn't it?
Was it a Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt reference? do you have the Netflix, Alan?
No, I've got Netflix. I was watching Star Trek Discovery.
Ah, I'm watching that too. So, Alan, already common ground is being found here.
You should be friends. I'll give you Rufus's mobile number.
And we can discuss it at length. for a brief sum up, Alan, how are you feeling about the Star Trek Discovery?
I like it.
And I think it's one of those classic examples. Oh, sorry, I talked over you there. How rude.
It's set 10 years before Kirk and crew.
Yeah.
And the Klingons, they're completely different to what they were in the original series. They're more blue.
Are they a lot calmer?
They're more angrier.
They are angrier, yeah. They are a lot angrier because it's during the Klingon War where the Federation haven't yet, you know... By the time you meet Kirk, all of that's behind them. So we've now gone back to the point before basically, we're plotting the Federation's war years.
Because basically, when I picked up with Kirk, I mean, I was the only one who didn't pick up with Kirk. It's where I'm going. He was basically involved in a lot of smooching.
There's a lot of smooching.
Yeah.
The first interracial kiss on American television.
Yeah, but he did a lot of interspecies kissing as well, didn't he?
Well, that was a great irony that people in America were up in arms that he kissed a black woman, but he'd previously kissed a blue woman with six arms, and no one had a problem with that.
Well, I'll get in there.
I think it's quite good, and I think it's one of those classic examples where you've got a very loyal fan base who have their own ideas of what it should be, and it's not going to meet everybody's requirement. But actually, if you're a first-time, Trek watcher, then I think it's a pretty good jumping on point.
Yeah, it sets up for all the films and TV series that have come before and after this. I mean, you've got Enterprise, which is... fairly good.
Yeah.
You've got the original series.
Yeah.
Then we get into all the good stuff with Picard.
Yes. Disco, Next Generation.
Janeway.
Yeah.
And you've got all the films as well.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, if you are somebody thinking, is Star Trek for me, there is no shortage of material available to you. Do you know, there's a theory, Alan, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, there is a theory that we wouldn't have mobile phones if it wasn't for Star Trek.
Oh, no, I'm still waiting for the day we got instant transporters.
Well, then you could be here with us, Alan, and wouldn't that be all the sweeter?
I think it might be sultry, that.
I could be running my fingers through your hair while you watch the Sainsbury's advert. You could be running your hair down Ian's back. When he returns, obviously not now. We cannot say why Ian's not here.
For legal reasons.
Well,
but when he comes back, honestly, you could plait everything from shoulders to cleft.
And also, his face will be tight like a tiger, won't it?
Yeah, tight at the back, tied at the back, and tight at the front. Beautiful image. A beautiful
image. And also, is the phone number still the same, or is it all new? That's what... The original conversation.
Well, what have you found? Did you phone a new number or the old one?
or dial 0344 499 1000.
Sorry, that was 0344 499 1000.
Yeah.
Let me write this down. One more time.
0344 499.
Yeah, hang on.
1000.
Hang on, wait. 99. What was the next bit?
1000.
1000. Let me just check I've got this right. 0344.
Yeah.
4991.
Yeah.
000.
Yeah.
And if people wanted to text.
Well, I don't have a text number, Kath.
Well, you made me very unsure of everything, so.
I would. Listen, if you did want to text, take a punt on 81333. And start your message with the word talk.
And we'll see if that works. If it doesn't work, then...
If it doesn't work, then we'll just... What we'll
Hang
do...
On. It's not it.
It's... We will start... There's a... That is a five-digit number.
Is that not it?
So we'll start with 00001 and start your message with talk. And then we'll... and then we'll just keep going until we get to 999.
Well?
When we get one that comes through, then we'll know that must be the right text number.
Hang on.
Is Scott going to be on as well?
No.
81333, start your message with talk.
No, that's wrong.
It's not?
I've just Googled ourselves.
All right, what do you text?
I've Googled myself. Right.
Oh,
eight,
please, this is night one, Kat.
872.
872.
22.
22. That is literally nothing like
no,
what
I've got
in front
of me. No,
I don't
know where I got the other thing. I did write that down.
Yeah, but that's all right, I'll take the blame. I wrote that.
Is the phone number still the same or is that a new number?
No, let me just check. What number have you got?
0344
0344 499 1000 1000 and 81333 is the text number. And that is if you want to make a phone call, is that right?
Hang on, can I just Google that? Can you tell
just,
me it again?
Yeah, okay, it's... O?
O?
Actually, well, it's a number, so it's zero.
Zero.
0 3
mm-hmm.
444
Yeah.
991
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, it should be zero. I'll start again.
Start again.
0 3
Yeah.
444
999
1 1 0 0
Yeah, yeah.
0 0
That's,
No,
that's
too many zeros.
Can you go again?
Right. 0 3
3
4 4
uh-huh
4 9 9
yep
1
yep
0
yep
0
mm-hmm.
0
That seems like a lot of numbers.
Let me hang on. 0 3 4 4 4 9 9 1 0 No, that's all I think that's about. Right.
Can someone ring that and see if it...
Yeah. If you could pick up the phone now and just try 0 3 4 4 4 9 9 1 0 0 0 If anyone could...
Just say yep.
And just say yep. That's the one. That'll do yep. That'd be smashing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is that number?
Yeah. Should we have a break?
Yeah.
Late night conversation. Wealth losing sleep over.
Late night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
99 1000.
What's this music?
I don't know, but I like it. It makes me feel like Shaft.
Jazzy.
And when is there a bad time to feel like Shaft? Unless you have been specifically requested by the police to stop interfering in their investigations. Ken in Newcastle's on the line. Ken, good evening to you.
Good evening. Is it Rupert? Is that the correct name?
It'll do you, Ken. I'll go by whatever moniker you so wish.
Okay, Rupert, I would like to discuss, if you don't mind, the folly and the cowardice of the Church of England.
Let's have it. The folly and the cowardice of the Church of England. Now, I'm imagining, Ken, you're going to take a historical perspective on this, are you? That at the point where Henry VIII decided to move British faith away from the Catholic Church, that was a moment of true bravery, and everything since then has been giving ground to papists.
No.
Oh, that's weird.
What I would like to discuss is...
Are you talking about during the 1800s, or indeed during the First or Second World Wars, where maybe they could have been more front-footed about Jesus' mission of peace and love and kinship, and how that was maybe more important than ideas of war or that kind of thing?
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, right, so hang on. Are you talking about how...
Hold on, my friend. Are you just mocking me?
No, how dare you? I'm trying to establish the ground under which you are accusing the Church of England of cowardice.
Yes, they're cowardice. They have fallen away from the teachings of the Bible. And that is an act of cowardice, especially on the part of the Archbishop, who should be fired. This man has no gumption. He has no natural inclination to be faithful to Jesus and the teachings of the Bible.
So I think you're probably, and forgive me if I'm wrong in making an assumption here, is this because people have said, let's not have children be bullied?
No, that's nothing to do with it.
Oh, right, thank God for that. Because for a moment there, I thought inspired by the Church of England today saying young men, young women should be completely free to express themselves without fear of judgment or recrimination. But that's not what you're ringing in about. I mean, that'd be crazy.
Nobody should be bullied, especially young children. They should not be bullied. However, I'm not talking about that. I am talking about the new sexual ethic, according to the LGBT propaganda, which has taken over the Church of England and is now in full power almost in this country. This country is now ruled by LGBT fascism.
Yeah, go on.
And then anybody who opposes this, especially Christians, we have to be silenced immediately. There is now no freedom of speech or conscience allowed for Christians in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
And what is happening today is a very serious situation for
our
nation.
Sorry, what is happening today?
The situation as we see happening in the world around us and in the United Kingdom today.
Okay.
We see the nation has now fallen into a sexual cesspit where there is no restraint on sexual activity and everything is accepted to be okay if you enjoy it. Did you know around the Houses of Parliament, Rupert, carved in stone, written in Latin, is the Lord's Prayer? The Mother of all Parliaments was established on the Bible and the teachings of the Bible and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he is mocked in the Parliament buildings. Sexual madness has taken over right amongst the politicians and it is spreading now to schools and the Church of England is cowardly. They are not standing against it and speaking up for Jesus and the truth.
Now, Ken, I've let you speak for almost a full 2 minutes uninterrupted because you said that Christians were no longer allowed the freedom of expression or allowed to speak up. So I let you speak for 2 minutes. Does that seem fair to you?
Very fair, but most people don't allow.
Then everything you just said is absolute horse crap. It's absolute nonsense, mate. You are talking about a prayer written around an old building, you know, whatever it was, 200 years ago, in a dead language. Of course things have changed. The world changes. The only thing that your Bible says doesn't change is that God exists. Well, let me tell you something from the Bible, Ken. 1 John 4:16. God is love, and whomsoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them. If you want to talk about Christianity, if you want to talk about faith, then there was only one principle that Jesus truly stood for, and that was decency towards one another. What goes on in the privacy of people's homes is of no interest to anybody other than the consenting adults behind those doors. And the idea that we have dressed up a book handed to nomadic tribes people dancing around the Middle East in the wilderness and are trying to overlay that 2,000 years later to a perma-connected, online, forward-thinking, futurist society is just nonsense. The thing that you are espousing is... that was really lovely to end on a note of agreement.
I think the Church of England's doing brilliantly, especially as, you know, for many generations, the male and female vicars have been wearing the same clothes. In fact, haven't the men been wearing kind of frocks?
Well, but this is the... Look, I'll be honest... There are so many easy points to score with that thing. And the weirdest thing is, right, for a long time I was sure I was going to be a vicar. Really thought I was going to be a vicar. Yeah. And then the whole just complete lack of any shred of evidence that there is a God and all of the evidence that suggests that there isn't one. I went hard atheist. I have now come back to the only defendable position, which is, you know, sceptical agnosticism, because I can't prove there isn't a God, right? So you have to then live your life. You know, God helps people who help themselves, all of that stuff. A practical philosophy of kindness and compassion and decency towards one another. And so the idea that if you're born gay, you know, that's the weirdest thing about this, is God knew you before you were even in the womb. Okay, so then you're out in the world, you are like what you are like, and God hates you for it. That doesn't make the first piece of damn sense. And Jesus, who is apparently represented in America as being somebody who loves guns and loves war and, you know, believes in nation against nation and all of these things, that is not what Jesus stood for at all. Jesus stood for, you know, love, kindness, decency, brotherhood, fraternity, helping the lowest, helping the people who did feel marginalised. Any Christian you meet who doesn't have the practical betterment of the people at the bottom end of our society as the first thing they want to accomplish, ignore them. They have no clue what they're talking about, and they are using a 2,000-year-old book that was only really found in scraps and shreds, and, you know, that isn't one book. Remember that, amongst all things. Those are edited highlights from a bunch of different writings across hundreds of years.
And there's more of it elsewhere that we're not allowed to look at.
Well, there's more of it, but that's the thing. Like, so what is the Bible?
Yeah.
It's not even that there's more of it. There have been bits that were in it that aren't in it anymore. They're all the translations, however it's translated. You can say it means this, you can say it means that. If you are a Christian, you are a follower of Christ, and the only thing Christ was interested in was love God above all things and love one another.
Right, that whole thing of what would Jesus do? Pretty sure he wouldn't be on the phone to a late night phone and talking like that.
Yeah, and also the idea that it's cowardly. Like, the main body, well, there are a huge number of people, an ever-dwindling number, as it forces itself to become less and less relevant to people's lives precisely because of that kind of thinking. It is braver to say, it is time we put aside the old ideas of this is male and this is female. It is braver to say that to that congregation than it is just to sort of keep stirring your tea and eating a dry biscuit out of a, you know, a tiny green porcelain cup and pretending like, you know, everything's just fine the way it is. Everything changes. The only thing that will never change is the fact that there will always be change. And unless you are prepared to swim with the tide and offer what is a pretty universal and groovy philosophy that Jesus was offering the world, then get out the way. You are exactly the old establishment church that when Jesus came to earth as the person of God was having to fight against, who are not interested in the betterment or spiritual fulfillment in people's lives, but is instead interested in exerting control and exerting a way of forcing people to behave, because if you don't do what I say, you will burn forever in the fiery pits of damnation. Mm-hmm. It is not about what Jesus is about. Jesus is about loving one another. So unless I'm sorry, old sausage, I know I cut you off, but if you want to phone up and let's talk about Jesus, let's do it, man. But not from the point of view that a church saying maybe we should create a society that has less ways in which young children feel that, you know, it is legitimate to bully other young children. That's not cowardice. That's exactly the kind of territory that the church should be entering into and encouraging others to think, frankly, a little harder about. There we go. It's not quite what I imagined talk radio was going to be, just being able to sort of espouse what Christianity is as a non-Christian. Is that allowed? Is that really offensive? Because, I mean, you may well ring in and say, you wouldn't say to, you know, a Muslim, oh, no, this is actually what Islam is, when you're not one. So, I mean, fair enough.
But you haven't had a basic teaching in Islam, that's the answer.
No, I did spend more time reading the Bible than I spent reading the Quran. But I did have a phenomenal conversation with a man in Worcester about the Quran, who was an evangelical Muslim, who said that, again, the fundamental teaching of the Quran is, above any relationship you have with God, the thing that you will be judged on is whether or not you made the lives of the people in your immediate surround better.
Yeah.
That is the fundamental tenet of Islam. So when you look at Muslims and, you know, the community that springs up around mosques, that's because that is the central tenet of their faith. It is about being kind and decent to one another.
Yeah, isn't it part of their religion that they have to give a certain amount of their wages to charity every month?
I'm sure it is. I mean, look, I'm already swimming in water that is too deep for my ability. But if there's anyone, if there are evangelical Muslims who want to...
There are at least two.
There are at least two. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Well, as long as you're prepared to phone up and be decent and maybe teach us something we didn't know, that would be absolutely smashing. I'm just going to quickly check whether we should have an advert, and we should.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
David, David Babcock, king of the wild frontier. David, we have kept you waiting too long. You have been hanging about, and I apologise for that. Are you there, David?
Yeah, I'm here.
So, apologies, you've been waiting for about half an hour, but we had a bit of business about Christ to clear up. And I know you're a man of no small spiritual belief yourself.
You've done your research,
A paranormal researcher?
Yeah, well, a paranormal investigator.
Paranormal investigator? Well, that was a quick promotion. You've gone from researcher to investigator. You carry on like that, you'll make chief by the end of the week, Dave.
No, I was never a researcher. I've always been an investigator.
Apologies, my misreading of a spectral situation. David, ghosts... Speak now.
What, about golf?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you phoned me.
Right. I wasn't really going to talk about ghosts.
You didn't want to talk about ghosts?
No.
Oh. Well, this has taken a funny turn, David. What did you want to talk about?
Donald Trump.
Oh, lovely. Well, let's keep it light. We've done religion. Let's time to crash into politics. What is it about Donald Trump, David, that you need to get off your bin lid?
Well, I would have a chance if my campaign that I've launched gathers speed.
Okay. Sometimes you have to keep talking, David, because otherwise it's just a sentence.
Sorry?
Keep talking. You've launched a campaign. Right. So now the next thing normally to do at that point is to sort of expand on what that campaign is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Go on, David.
Are you pro-Trump, David, or what is the campaign? Give us the campaign headline.
Kathleen, is he taking a Michael?
No, we're just waiting to hear your idea, because you seem to be, you're giving it us in dribs and drabs, and quite frankly, it's teasing.
I do a podcast called The Ghost and Me podcast, and it's all about ghosts and me. And I've done a campaign to get Trump on it.
Oh, you want to get Trump on it?
Yeah. Wondering if you could publicise it. Put
in a word. Yeah. Well, I mean, Talk Radio and Fox News, those are the only two media outlets that the President of America engages with. I would specifically say Talk Radio has never been accused by Donald Trump of being fake news. And what does that tell you?
It tells us that no one listens. That's what it tells us. But, you know, one day he will listen, and I'm sure he'll call us fake news.
Do you think I have a chance?
Of getting Donald Trump on your podcast?
Yeah.
Well, Barack Obama did Mike Maron's podcast.
Yeah. Why don't you DM him?
DM him?
He likes Twitter.
Can you think you can send messages to Donald Trump?
I've noticed that sometimes people send him a message saying, can you please follow me? I need to send you a message. And he does.
Is that right?
Yeah. But quite quickly after that, normally they send him something rude and he blocks them. But so he'll be refreshed to find that you've got a serious proposition for him.
What is it that only the Donald can help you with?
Well, I was hankering after somebody to come on my podcast, and I couldn't think of anyone, so I opened it up to the Twitter friends on Twitter, and somebody suggested the Donald Trump, and I went bingo.
Yeah, what were the other names on that list?
Noel Edmonds.
Yeah.
Chuckle Brothers.
Yeah. Noel Edmonds, Chuckle Brothers. Second mention of them on the show tonight. I've got a feeling unlikely to be the last. Yeah, Chuckle Brothers.
Nick Knowles, he's doing quite a bit of publicity at the moment.
Nick Knowles.
I
would say, with Donald Trump, he is away. We do know that. He's in Asia at the minute, yeah. Isn't he? So he's tricky to get hold of. But I would think the Chuckle Brothers and Nick Knowles and Noel Edmonds as three guests, I know it's four men, but as three guests, were a poltergeist suddenly to emerge, then the question remains, was the book thrown to me, to you, to me, to you? And, you know, bookcases fall down, Nick Knowles is there, DIYSOS, bang, it goes straight back up. You're covering your tracks. What's in the box, Noel? Oh, it's the spirit of a dead child.
Oh,
well, I mean, that's can't be a paranormal investigator and flinch from the cold hard truth of unfinished business amongst.
I was just about to say, yes, I did greet that with an oh, but children do die, and
that's they, it. As a parent, trust me, it keeps me up at nights. And I like to think if one of my children did pass away, they would come back as a ghost. Just to tell me everything was all right.
To wake you up in the night.
To wake me up on the night. Like, it's all over, Dad, but it was a good run while it lasted. Bye for now. Ooh.
You are taking the mic on now.
Into the light, son.
Yeah.
Or daughter. I mean, I don't know which of them is more likely to go at this point.
Don't pick.
It's wrong to pick, isn't it? It is wrong to pick. I know which one I think it would be more likely to be, if I'm honest.
We've all got one of them,
yeah. So, essentially, you just want us to signal boost, essentially, your campaign to get Donald Trump on your podcast. How many listeners has your podcast got? Because it's a numbers game with Trump. If it's getting the message out there, there's a good chance he might turn up.
It was very recently number 2 in the iTunes charts for religion and spirituality.
Recently number 2?
It's true.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
So how many, but I mean, what does that translate to? I don't know how many listeners religious and spiritual podcasts are getting.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that yours doesn't really fall into that category, so they're a bit surprised. But, but well done. It's an achievement.
It's an achievement. But I can't help you get Donald Trump because I've got a feeling I don't have a through route to that man. But I can give you some advice in terms of Twitter, and that is if you get big numbers, lay it out. You've got 280 characters now, so you really put some thought into how you're going to lure him on.
Would you use all the characters?
I would. I think you could probably get it down to Donnie. Mm. That's 5 characters.
Yeah.
Ghost podcast.
Yeah.
I'm just counting those. That's 5 again. That's 10. That's 3. That's 17. Right, you're on 17. Ghost podcast. Oh, throw in 2 exclamation marks, and you're gonna need spaces. So that's 20. Donnie, ghost podcast. What do you say? And then just fill the rest of the 280 characters with the ghost emoji.
Or funny GIF. It's a GIF, not a GIF.
Oh, it is a GIF, not a GIF.
I bet he loves it.
Yeah. What would it be? Oh, hang on. You're an investigator, not an exterminator. You're not a ghostbuster. You're a ghost investigator.
Paranormal investigator.
I think it doesn't really matter. You just got to catch his attention, right? So I reckon, you know the marching Pikachu's gif?
Mm.
Gif?
Strong.
I think he would like that.
Yeah.
I think that would definitely catch his attention. It's all about grabbing it and keeping it just for a couple of seconds. That's all it needs for him.
Or you had Nick Knowles maybe on your list of possible guests.
Yeah.
So if you, I would say maybe think about building. Start by getting Nick Knowles. Mm. And then convince Nick Knowles to help Trump build that wall. Because they can turn... They are turning around projects on DIY SOS. It costs them next to no money. You haven't got to worry about who's going to pay for it. Mexico, not a big deal. And once Nick Knowles is on board, what have you got? You've got music. You've got building.
Sex appeal.
You've got sex appeal. You've got the face of every major video game in the last 5 years that has come out. All in one leather-trousered package.
Leather trousers or double denim? I mean, either way, it's good.
Either way, both are very on Trump brand, it feels to me.
Slight problem.
Yep.
I've already ejaculated into my trousers, as it were.
What?
I've already sent the tweet.
To?
You've already sent the tweet?
The Donald Trump.
Donald?
Donnie, ghost podcast, what do you say? And then 190 ghost emojis.
No, I haven't said that. I sent it about half an hour ago.
Oh.
Oh.
What time is it in... Where is he now? Japan? Or has he moved along?
Hopefully. He might be asleep.
Yeah. Give him time. He wakes up about 2 in the morning, doesn't he?
I think the time difference... This is prime time. Oh. Just hit tweet, hit tweet, hit tweet. What's your Twitter username?
The David Babcock.
The David Babcock.
Yeah.
Accept no substitutes. So if you want to see the endless... barrage of David Babcock's Trump fondling. Not fondling. What am I?
Grabbing.
Nurturing.
Grabbing?
No, he's sort of...
teasing.
Teasing. Trump teasing.
Mm-hmm.
Then at the David Babcock, and I would imagine probably the next 4 hours is prime time for that.
We should retweet.
Well, we will retweet.
Yeah.
I have no Twitter capacity in front of me. I have a microphone and a will to please. But I do.
Hey, Rufus.
Yeah.
Do you want to come on it?
Do I want to come on your podcast? Does it involve travel?
No, Skype.
Skype. Okay. When do you record?
Whenever you like.
Oh, I'm busy.
Oh,
I'm busy that day. I'm busy.
Oh
well. But stay in touch. I'm sure. Look, I'm here for 3 weeks, David. I've got a feeling this is not going to be the last time we speak. And when next time we speak, let's have an update on the Get Donald Trump on the Ghost podcast.
Right. Thanks so much. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you. David Babcock there.
Yeah.
Well, we're close to an hour in. We've covered Ken in Newcastle. We've covered David Babcock. And frankly... Alan, who I can only pray is currently watching and re-watching the new Sainsbury's advert, so he can give us all a shop-by-shop breakdown when we come back in the second hour. Kyle in Rochdale. Hello, Kyle.
Good evening, Cass. Good evening, Rupert.
Kyle, lovely to hear your voice. Now, look, old sausage, there is about 2.5 minutes till the news. So what I'm going to do is start a conversation now. If we can wrap up what you want to say in 2 minutes, smashing. If we can't, just stick around. You've waited ages anyway. You may as well stick around.
Or if Rufus gets bored, it'll be bye-bye, Kyle. So three options.
Three options there. So, Kyle, what are you bringing to the table?
Well, it's kind of a quick two-part story, but both halves concern the Orient Express.
Kyle, you absolute tease. Can the first half of this story be told in 90 seconds?
First bit was on Saturday, a lady I used to work with said, I was talking about the murder on the Orient Express, and she said, I've got the old one on DVD. Do you want me to pop it in the post for you so you can watch it? I said, that would be lovely. She said, yeah, and then she proceeded to tell me what the plot twist was. And then said, it's probably not much point me sending it now, is there? I went, not really.
No. Or indeed, you then also going to watch the new movie at the cinema, because it's the same story, isn't it?
The new movie, Rufus and Cass, you will enjoy what happened to my absolute shame in the cinema only this evening.
That's assuming we come back after the news.
Well, I think we will.
I hope so.
I think we will. But I will fill the next 50 seconds with this. The number, we think the phone number for phoning in is 0344 499 1000. Mm-hmm. 0344 499 1000. We think that is the number. Do give us a try on that. But you have, I think, cut to the nub there of one of the key differences between the old and the young here, Kyle. Because we live in a world where we are so aware of spoilers and the whole culture of spoilers, we would never do it. One of the other major ways it drives me slightly mad is if you have a conversation with an older person who is telling you where they live, they will give you directions instead of the postcode, because the postcode is now all you need. You just put that postcode into Google Maps and you just go there. But the detailed giving of directions is a thing from a different age. Would you agree, Kyle?
Well, why do cabbies use sat-navs? I don't get that either.
Well, they do in London now, and we will talk more on this, and indeed all things Murder on the Orient Express, after this.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
Stimulating nightly emissions guaranteed to open your eyes and your mind.
I've been having some weird experiences for the past several years.
Speech Radio, with a difference.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
Really professional. Definitely didn't just run into the room and haven't even sat down yet. Probably a bit ambitious on the first break that I've really had to conquer to try and do that marathon training. But, you know, if I don't do it now, Kath, when am I going to do it?
This is an experimental show. You experimented. We got away with it. Let's...
I experimented with not being sat at the desk when the red light came on.
Doesn't quite work, but we can work on that.
But, you know, this is it, isn't it? All things will change.
Exactly.
And some of the things that will change is the radio presenter being in front of the microphone at the allotted time. I mean, what could... you know, what's the point? Kyle...
Yes.
Sorry for keeping you waiting, but I would imagine the news was an absolute thrill ride for you.
I loved it. I learnt things I didn't know before, only on Talk Radio.
Pull that out for a sting. We're having that tomorrow. Thank you very much, Kyle. Now, for anyone just tuning in, because I would imagine there's a surge around 11 o'clock as the pubs kick out and people are, you know, getting their phones out and their headphones in for the long bus ride home. Kyle... recently had the end of Murder on the Orient Express ruined for him by an old lady.
Oh, an old friend.
Oh, an old friend, sorry.
An old friend, yeah, quite a youngish lady.
Oh, right, just someone you've known a long time. There was no... Oh, right, yeah. We were imagining a grey person.
I was imagining a woman who, if she were a tree and you cut her in twain, you would count the rings and there would be more than 50-odd.
Yes,
60-odd. No, no. But no, this is not the case. It was just an old friend who ruined a film for you.
Yes.
Well, I would delete her from your Facebook and sever all ties, because that is no way to behave in 2017. It wasn't even really allowed in 2014, and that was 3 years ago, Kath.
It certainly was.
So, Kyle, you did, however, go tonight to the cinema to watch the new Murder on the Orient Express, not having been put off by knowing what happened.
No, I didn't, and it's actually more shameful than that, Rufus.
Well, I hadn't necessarily associated a feeling of shame with the first part of this anecdote. But
oh, no, this will. This is one where your feet will grip the floor beneath the desk.
So
I went to see, the new Thor film.
Oh, Thor Ragnarok.
We were thinking you were going to go and see Murder on the Orient Express. That was a complete MacGuffin.
Yeah.
You'll like this, Kath. You will like this.
You say that.
Kath's bar is set very high, Kyle. So.
Well, no, I think having spoken with Kath before, she might like it. Anyway, so we got our tickets for Ragnarok. And we said, oh, well, you know, me and my friend Jeanette, we said, oh, just nip for a week separately and we'll wander into the cinema. It starts in 5 minutes. And so we did that. And then we came out the toilets more or less at the same time. We went into the wrong screen.
Right.
So we went in and we trekked all the way to the back of the cinema.
Yeah.
And we sat down and I took my coat off.
Yeah.
And it was, who's the actor? Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah.
And
you're thinking, Thor's looking a bit different these days.
Well, right. Now, me and Jeanette were like, oh, this is a trailer for the Orient Express. Because she said to me as well, I don't want to know what the ending is. Do not tell me. And I went, no, what? And then, so we're watching this film unfold in front of us.
Yeah.
And it was him revealing what the plot is. Because it's the actual end of the film, and we'd wandered into the wrong screening.
Oh!
And then... as we wandered out, I said, well, I guess, because she said, like I said, you know, you mustn't tell me what the plot twist is. And we walked out and she was like, right, so the kind of the twist, and I can't say it, can I, because everyone
knows. No, I mean, case. You mustn't.
But everyone, but yeah, obviously you know, but yeah, and she walked out going, right, so that was it. And we were so embarrassed, and we were sure people were looking going, who are these arseholes who are walking 2 minutes before the end?
But maybe they just thought you were really time efficient. Like, these guys, they just want to get in, know who did it, and then get out again.
Yeah, that's...
You look like a high-flying international businessman, Carl. Maybe this isn't a moment of shame. Maybe this is a moment where you get to realise that other people maybe perceive you in a way that you don't perceive yourself.
Well, do you know what? I've spoken with Ian long enough, and his cast knows that I think they know that's not the case, Rufus, I'll be honest with you.
But Kyle, this is... See, we are undergoing a period of change. Not permanent change, because as with change, things can change and change back. That is the nature of change. But maybe today is a day, Kyle, where you turn a personal corner.
Do you think? Well, it taught me. I was more worried though. It's like, you know, if you're walking on a slippery road and you fall over on the ice, and you always think, oh, I wonder, because me and Jeanette were so mortified. We were like, what are those people thinking? As we got up, sat down for 2 minutes, and then walked out.
I think that's rather special, and I think you should cherish that story. As a younger man, I worked at a cinema, and this very old lady, and she was an old lady. I mean, her oak tree had, you know,
many rings,
and she got her popcorn. And a cup of tea, and she went into the screen, and it was an unusual film she'd picked. She went to see Anaconda.
That's one of my top two worst films in the world.
Right. Well, for those, I mean, these aren't spoilers because the film's been out for a long time. But
here's
I'm only
spoiler,
going to
crap.
I'm only going to tell you the first sort of 5 minutes of it. But it's basically, you know, it's a giant snake movie. So the film has to open with somebody being eaten by a giant snake. So you know that giant snakes are dangerous. Mm-hmm. And this old lady went in, and towards the sort of part at the very beginning where the giant snake eats someone, she emerged from the screen saying, well, that's not like the book at all. She was furious. And I thought, what sort of Anaconda purist are you that you've read the book? I didn't even know it was based on a book. And it transpired she'd bought a ticket to see Anna Karenina. And much like you, wandered into the wrong screen. I think if you are looking for a tale of, you know, love across the boundaries in Tsarist Russia, and you get a giant snake movie, that's possibly more of a shock. Did you then, was there enough time having left there to go and see Thor Ragnarok?
Oh, yeah, because the screens were literally next door to each other, just like door.
It's the nature of a modern multiplex, Kyle. It's the nature of a modern multiplex. I wasn't imagining a long walk.
No, I just felt a little bit foolish. But and the strange thing was, because obviously I genuinely don't ring up unless. But yeah, no, I didn't ring up just to like provide something to talk about tonight. That genuinely happened, and I was mortified.
Well, I think there's no shame there. We all make mistakes, and part of living a productive life is learning to forgive yourself for them.
When stuff like that happens, don't you think, oh, well, at least it's a good story?
Yeah. At least that happened, and the first thought in your head must be, I'll ring Ian Lee tonight and tell him that. So, actually, this has been nothing but win upon win upon win.
No, I'm like, no, on that logic, that's a good one.
Yeah, there you go. You see, feel pleased with yourself. You deserve to. Thor Ragnarok, loved it?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, much better than the second one. Because
yeah.
I drifted off. And the third one was, like, really funny.
Yeah, the weird Kenneth Branagh tie-in, of course, to the Thor series is that Kenneth Branagh directed the first Thor movie.
Did he?
He did.
Yeah, I forgot that.
Yeah, so I could imagine if you sat down and saw Kenneth Branagh at the beginning of Thor, you might think, oh, right, yeah, there
could
is
happen,
a... Yeah, right. Weird that he's wearing the same Poirot moustache.
Where's
in both
he talking
movies. Yeah, but so I have gathered you here today to reveal who has murdered this fantastical beast with a hammer. Was it the mild-mannered librarian, or was it the Viking god of war?
But from what I've heard, Thor Ragnarok is daft enough to bring in Poirot.
Completely. I saw it last weekend on a. I've got two kids, and me and my wife wife just took our son for a day out because my daughter was with her grandparents, and we had an absolute ball. It's a great, if you've got, you know, a young man in your life who's a fan of a superhero, you would do worse than going to see Thor Ragnarok. It's a thrill ride.
There were lots of little in jokes which tied into all the other Marvel movies, which I liked as well. So that was quite nice.
There's a YouTube channel called Looper, and they do a lot of kind of fanboy breakdowny stuff. And so I've watched several videos revealing all of the kind of Marvel Universe in jokes. If you're a fan of Thor Ragnarok, worth looking at a few of the other things that were in there, because there's a reference Thor makes to being turned into a frog. And there was a classic Thor series in the comics where that indeed does happen. And Throg is part of the... is a genuinely much-loved part of the Marvel Thor universe.
Now, I haven't seen any of these because I'm the only person in my house who likes going to the cinema to see films that have not got princesses in. So, and I include my husband in that. but I quite fancy this. It sounds ridiculous, but in a good way.
The reason we went was because my wife, who would never choose to see a superhero movie, saw Jeff Goldblum being interviewed and said, oh, yeah, I want to see Jeff Goldblum in a Thor movie, and he's fantastic in it.
He's amazingly funny. He's so funny. And he reminded me, this is no reference, he reminded me a bit of Gary Shandling, almost.
Ooh, great shout, yes.
In his delivery.
Yes, where there's that sort of knowing, removed, slightly set back delivery.
Yeah.
No, he is the bee's knees. I heard an amazing, I say I heard, Twitter. I mean, it's probably nonsense, you know, because everything on Twitter is, but...
Spread it anyway.
There was an incredible story about... somebody said a friend of theirs was travelling business class on a British Airways flight, and Jeff Goldblum sat down next to this friend, and she had this book out, and she was, you know, really engaged in the book, because she didn't want to just, like, freak out that she was sat next to Jeff Goldblum. And about 5 hours into, like, really concerted reading... Jeff Goldblum looked over and said, what are you reading? And she showed him the book. And apparently Jeff Goldblum went, you know, I'm well known for being really very good at reading aloud. May I? And he took the book off her and he read her the book for the next 2 hours until the flight landed.
Now, that's cool or weird?
It's cool or weird, isn't it? Cool or weird. It is cool because it's Jeff Goldblum, but if you did it, Kyle,
it'd be weird.
If Nick Knowles did it again.
Well, I think it would depend on the book. I think if Nick Knowles is reading...
What are those guides called where you can get your, like, engines and that? He'd be good at them.
Oh, a Haynes manual. Yeah. Do the Haynes manuals do audiobooks? That would be sprocket, engine cap. Hi, I'm Nick Knowles, and I'm going to tell you how to assemble and reassemble a Ford Escort.
You get a load of women buying it anyway.
I reckon Nick Knowles would be all right on a kind of a sub Bravo 2.0 kind of novel.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know that the, what was it, the number 10 detective agency... sort of older women solving crimes would necessarily be the...
I tell you what's a belting audiobook.
Oh, go on.
The Billy Idol. Have you heard this?
Well, I haven't, but I know you and Ian were talking about it last week.
Obsessed with it. Right, it goes on for ages. It's hours and hours of this stuff. And he does deliver it in a kind of Nick Knowles way, or is Nick Knowles imitating Billy Idol? It's all kind of, and so I took her into the bathroom. I mean, he's doing unspeakable things to various young women and then ends his book with... And, of course, my lovely 18-year-old... And I was thinking, OK, you've got an 18-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
To God, no one treats her the way you've been treating women, or saying you've been treated women all through this. Because there is a smack of 14-year-old boy boasting about girls that you wouldn't know because they're in a different school. But it's outrageous. It's so boastful. It's wonderful.
Oh, that sounds very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember there was that whole boom in true crime, kind of like when Lockstock came out?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was exactly the right age to sort of try and feel enamoured with a lot of those, like, East End gangsters and things like that. It felt like the cool thing to do. And I've got a man who's got a few years on me, who I love very much, who was sort of around at that time. And I mentioned to him that I've been reading these books, so, you know, maybe we had some common ground. And he universally pointed out that literally all of the people whose books I read were horrible human beings. And, you know, you are heroising these monsters, essentially. And that was the point where I stopped really engaging with that kind of stuff.
It's a shame when people ruin, like, criminals for you, isn't it?
It's a shame when people ruin criminals. It's a very... Yeah, yeah. I mean, oh, some of the great criminals.
I interviewed Mad Frankie Fraser once. He was a very charming elderly gentleman in a posh suit.
Yeah.
You know.
And you just have to forget
about... And a torturer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, God, or some... Yeah, I'm... See, the thing is, I'm trying to think of criminals to make light of, and then the whole point of this really is that, no, they did despicable things and we shouldn't really make light of it. Oh, well, fun, isn't it, Kyle? Fun. Yeah, have you ever tortured anyone? Maybe we'll leave that for another. What do you do for a living, Kyle?
Oh.
No, I'm resting at the minute.
Oh, fair enough.
He used to be a spy, though. Well, we think he was a spy, because he would never tell us before when he was working.
Right.
But he did a lot of work around Westminster.
Oh, hello.
Well, all remembered.
You see, there's a file, Kyle, that pops up for regular callers, but only... in Kat's mind palace.
I call it the Kyle file.
Well, Kyle, what would you like to be getting into? See what I'm doing. I'm not asking directly now. If he says, I speak fluent Russian and I'm really good at wiring phones without anyone finding out.
And snapping necks.
Snapping necks. Sleeping with seven women in the 70s in a space capsule.
Yeah.
They all know we've got a spy on our
definitely
hands.
Definitely. So cunning.
Cunning, right?
You've done this before, right?
So, Kyle, well, if you're resting at the moment, I imagine looking for gainful employ.
Well, probably after Christmas. It would either be a tea boy or a hairdresser, like Ringo wanted to be back in the 60s.
What about a tea boy in a hairdresser's?
Jill, that would suit me down to the ground.
Lovely. Well, if there are any hairdressers listening, and I would imagine many are, surely Talk Radio, very much the go-to destination for your hairdresser.
We're a very hairy establishment.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Ian, when he returns, even more hairy than he was, wasn't
he? Again,
we can't
so.
Say... We can't say why he ends off, but honestly, ask to see pictures of his back when he gets here, because it is going to look like Peter Stringfellow has got Peter Stringfellow in a backlock. That's what we've been told.
Can I ask you a question, Ruth? I'm deliberately not asking Catherine this, deliberately.
Yeah.
So, didn't you say you were here for the next 3 weeks?
Well, I don't really know how long I'm here for. I think it's three weeks.
We like to keep him on his toes.
Yeah.
I was going to say, how long does, and completely unrelated, Kath, but how long does I'm a Celebrity last for?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yep.
Is it a month?
When does it start, though? Because it doesn't start for...
2 weeks, isn't it?
I'm not a big fan, but Sunday the 19th, apparently.
Sunday the 19th.
Okay.
But it was, I mean, in fairness, it's all been announced who's on it.
Yeah. And I spoke to him. I spoke to him in Wales today. But apart from that, go running with that theory.
I'm going straight on Twitter with that now. Confirmation.
Well, I think we looked before we came on because we thought we knew we had somebody mutual that we knew that might be on it, yeah. And then we Googled to see what the rumours were, and the Mirror has confirmed all of the people it is.
Well, and also I've got a suspicion about James Whale.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to say.
Yeah.
But...
not that suspicion. I've got a suspicion that he might be on I'm a Celebrity.
Oh, I thought he'd been on. No, he's not. I think it was...
Big Brother.
It was Danny Baker, wasn't it?
Yeah, so he's done Big Brother, and I think that normally that puts you in the pool for other stuff. Like, if you do Coach Trip, often you end up on Come Dine.
Yeah.
You end up in that basket. So, look out for him.
You'll do the rounds.
Yes.
Especially if you've got, a kitchen extension that needs doing.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can... bop across three or four of those. Depends how much you're willing to ruin your body. Mm. If that extension really needs doing, dancing on ice, you will emerge with broken bones and a concussion.
But your worktops will be absolutely
marble.
Gorgeous.
Marble. Thinking of things we could buy, why don't you?
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you have a photocopier that needs repairing.
This fridge isn't going to fix itself. Inside it's cold, but outside I'm hot. I mean, for crying out loud. This is exactly the kind of thing that would get a white middle-aged man in trouble these days, Kath. Well, look, Vicky and Croydon, you have been holding on for, I think, now about a day and a half.
Which means she passes the test.
2 weeks, actually.
actually.
2 weeks, is that? Yeah. Well, thank you for sticking around long enough for us to actually talk to you, Vicky.
That's fine. First of all, I wanted to give some advice to David about how to get Donald Trump on his paranormal podcast.
Yes, at the David Babcock.
Just tell him that you were friends with Kim Jong-un at school in Switzerland, and you can put a good word in about how to get rid of the news. Surely that would be, like, the most sensible way of getting him on board.
Networking. Vicky, it's bread and butter in this day and age. So, fine advice.
It would make sense, and I'm pretty certain he would be on that podcast like a shot.
Yeah, because all Donald Trump wants is to make friends with people.
Oh. Well,
when will people stop misrepresenting that humble, decent, open, vulnerable man?
Yeah.
You know, it's a disgrace what the media have done to Donald
He's
Trump.
He's being bullied is what it is.
He's been bullied. Yeah. It's exactly right. Vicky, your spirit of kinship, friendship, networking, we already know you're an excellent person.
Well, and, you know, I also think that Kim Jong-un's quite misunderstood, to be fair.
Well, that's the nature of not speaking Korean. There's a little joke there, Vicky.
That was a good one.
That was a very good one.
Please, why, Vicky?
Well, because he speaks Korean, for a start.
For a start.
But also, I mean, he doesn't do... I suspect he was probably bullied, because he doesn't take criticism very well. Now, he's really quite sensitive. He's a very sensitive soul.
Yeah.
So, maybe that's what his problem is. So just, you know,
well, he was raised in the shadow of his farmer. Farmer? In the shadow of a farmer. And that's how you get a pat on the head.
You know what? Yikes. David could actually have Kim Jong-un on there as a deity, because that would all be along the lines of, you know, paranormal and... You know, because they do think he's a god out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, he would be a really good candidate to have on there.
Wasn't it Kim Jong-il, his father? Am I remembering that right? So Kim Jong-il and then Kim Jong-un.
And then there was Kim Jong-something. I don't think
good
that was
King Jong. Where's that Robin Hood? Am I misremembering that? Well, these are excellent. I mean, the problem is, and weirdly... We touch on Billy Idol and Kim Jong-un. I think there's a shared thing there, which is about being famous in the 80s. Everyone I've worked with who was famous in the 80s, pretty much an arsehole to a man. And what they don't have... See, in the 80s,
Sue
there
Pollard?
Were... I've never worked with her.
Well,
so this is the thing
want
I
to.
Would... is that... There were three television channels, you know, much, much fewer places for people to find their entertainment. Mm. And so people were deified. You know, if you had a TV show, chances are 17 million people were going to watch it because there were, you know, there were people watching telly and it had to be one of those three choices.
Can I just say, I have something in common with TV stations, and that is that Channel 4 and Channel 5 both started on my birthday.
I mean, yes.
Thank you.
For a random fact. Well, I mean,
That was a pretty good one, wasn't it?
That is very good, Vicky. What?
How did you find the time?
Did Channel 4 and Channel 5 both start broadcasting on... I mean, that's an interesting fact to me. I would imagine maybe something to do with license. Like, if you buy a broadcast license, does that mean that it always starts at the same day?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but November the 2nd... It's an auspicious day for starting a new TV station. So, you know, if you want to start one, start it on the 2nd of November.
Hmm. Well, in this day and age, you just start a YouTube channel. We should do is try and see if we can do some research on all YouTube channels that were started on November 2nd.
I've just looked up Dave. Dave started on Tuesday the 18th. No, that can't be right.
Yeah, well, you see, Dave used to be UK TV G2.
Right.
Which, you know, was a snappy title, and I can't imagine why they ever changed it.
I have no idea.
But, yeah, it's UK Gold, and then UK Gold 2, but then UK Gold had decided to rebrand itself as UK TV. So UK TV as the brand, then had UK TV Gold, and then UK TV G2. And I made one of the first original programmes for UK TV G2 called Street Cred Sudoku.
I wondered why we tapped
that. A worse television programme you would struggle to find.
What did you have to do with Street Cred Sudoku?
Well, I'm glad you've asked.
Mm.
The Sudoku craze was tearing up.
Right. That was like Nut Magic Squares, wasn't it?
It was.
To do maths.
Yes, it was basically. It was a logic puzzle. Can you put the numbers 1 to 9 in a grid of 9 9 times?
Yeah.
And the answer to this, by and large, was often no. And why would I want to?
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, people were going mad for it.
Yeah, lovely.
And so they developed a panel show that was themed around a game of Sudoku. But, of course, 9 times 9 is 81. So if you were going to have 81 squares or 81 points to get...
Tricky.
Tricky, without that show being 7 hours long. So we had this weird sort of... Street Cred Sudoku thing that was literally just six squares, and it was can we overlay the idea of Sudoku to get a commission essentially?
And what the people were bit, it was like Celebrity Squares, but in a
It was Street Cred. So the idea, I mean, even the phrase Street Cred at that point nobody was using,
yeah.
So it was an oxymoron of the highest order. And yeah, it was basically, can you make six jokes about Katy Price? Lovely. Get a number in a thing. That means you've got a Sudoku. It was BS. And it was rightly not recommissioned. Well, I say it wasn't recommissioned. We did about three series.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, well, golden times.
I wish I'd seen it.
Oh, it'll be on the tubes somewhere.
That's the
joy of nothing being disposable anymore.
What is street cred now? What would...
Vicky, you live in Croydon. You must be down with the youth.
Well, do you know what? I've got two living in my house and I still don't know.
Is six still a thing?
I think it's Peng.
Peng.
Yeah, we knew that. We knew that.
Yeah.
Dench.
I mean, don't quote me. Hench is like being muscular, isn't it?
Yeah. But yeah. Dench was a thing on the back of, now let me get this right, Grime. And I think it was Stormzy who started using the word dench quite a lot. And then recently, Judi Dench did a video with Stormzy.
It was quite delightful.
Oh, a joy. I mean, there is nothing about that woman not to love. I was once in a lift with Judi Dench.
What did she smell like?
Oh, hope.
Oh, I thought that.
Yeah, hope and experience and excellence.
It would be sad if she smelled like sprouts. I'm glad.
Well, if I'd have got in a lift with her nearer Christmas, who'd have known? But even then, it would have felt right.
Yeah.
Beautiful choices, Dench. Beautiful choices. Vicky, thank you for your thoughts about... Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump being bullied and therefore misunderstood and the like.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Was there anything else you...
There was. I wanted to talk about ghosts.
Oh, ghosts. Lovely.
Yeah, well, it is a late night show, therefore ghosts have to come into it at some point. So, and I also want to make a confession to Kath, because I know at the time you didn't know who it was, but I thought I would let you in on something whilst Ian's not here. I'm going to cast your mind back, right back to the first week that this show was on.
Right.
And you had a caller who called in and was saying that she was down a well. that she had been caught...
That was one of our first phone-ins. Have you ever fallen down a well?
Yeah. You know the one that said that she'd fallen down the well and found the video?
Yes.
That was me.
You got out then. I'm pleased.
I did, and I haven't watched the video, so
don't.
I'm perfectly safe.
Did you bother with the mug trick, Vicky?
The mug trick?
You know, I've fallen down a well.
No, I can
just
actually speak
into a mug, and it sounds like you've fallen down a well.
I did this voice. It was hello, I've fallen down a well, and I can't get out.
It's a well voice.
It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, there you go.
That is a voice that would make me believe you had fallen down a well. So you'd fallen down a well, and is that your ghostly confession?
Well, no. I was going to phone up and talk about ghosts because David didn't seem to want to.
That was weird, right? Because I've been prepped for David.
Here's the thing about David. He is weird.
He is, well, you know, I suppose it's a bit like the man who shovels manure.
Mm-hmm.
That after a while, you smell of manure.
Right.
You can't help that. That's your job. That is your life. If you cover yourself in enough of it, it doesn't quite leave you.
I get it.
If you're dealing with the unknown and with the realm...
In his case, they enter him,
Of the weird.
Yes.
They enter him.
Yeah.
Oh.
They do.
I mean, all of these things would have been ripe for discussion, but evidently he just wanted us to signal boost his Donald Trump be on my podcast plea, which was, fair enough. Look, we're not a public service broadcaster, but I like to think we provide something of a public service, and if all that is to help David acquire the most powerful man in the world onto a low-budget spectral podcast, then so be it.
Listen, we've got plenty of time for all things Ghoulies, haven't we, for the rest of the week, so he can do... When he feels the time is right...
When he feels the time is right. When the spirit enters him...
Literally.
He can enter into his spirit, and the spirit can enter into him.
If that's the case, I will phone up on another evening and tell you all about my psychic reading with a very famous psychic performer, I think it's the way to describe them. Very famous one, actually.
You mean a charlatan?
Well, yes. He told me that I was married to my soulmate, and I split up with him 3 weeks later.
Wow.
Yes.
That's quite something.
Yeah.
Was that inspired by there was a thing in your head that went, a charlatan told me I must do this, so the logic dictates that I simply cannot be with this person for a moment longer?
Well, the thing is, right, my mum is a, she was, right, this is really weird, really strange transformation, sort of spiritually. My mum used to be a Jehovah's Witness, but is now a spiritualist.
Oh.
And, yeah, I know, it's a bit odd.
Because isn't that strictly forbidden,
Well, yeah, I think it's very forbidden. But and it's like completely the opposite. Anyway, so she took me to see this particular guy. He's dead now, which narrows it down to who I'm talking about. But anyway, we went to his house to have a private reading. My mum paid for it for my birthday. And he was chatting away and he was saying, oh, yes, you've got your soulmate, haven't you? Yes, you have, you have. It's great to see somebody so well partnered with who they're married to. It's great, you've got your soulmate, you have nothing to worry about. Literally, 3 weeks later, I found out he cheated on me.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, can I get a refund?
That's it. Yeah. Because, I mean, surely if you were an invisible ghost who could be everywhere, you'd watch people humping, wouldn't you?
For a bit, but I bet it'd get boring.
Oh, you get bored of it.
Because there's a reason why there are professionals at that. For most people, it's very ugly business, I imagine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, there must be...
You'd be porn, to be honest, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Even if you're a ghost.
Yeah, but isn't the thing, right, with porn, that it is... Mm. I mean, that's why there are porn artists, porn performers, is that they're very skilled at, you know, making it look like... Oh my gosh, this is the most incredible experience two people can share with one another. And the reality, and one of the most harmful things about the prevalence of porn on the internet and young people accessing it is it gives a completely distorted view of what sexual intercourse actually is.
Yeah.
But as a result of which, I think I'd quite like to have a snoop round and see how people are actually...
What, regular people?
How regular people are getting giggity.
Yeah.
And I don't need them to be pretty. I don't need them to be beautiful. You know what I mean? I'm watching it in the same way that you would watch David Attenborough.
At least that way you get some reassurance.
Yeah. Well, I'm better than that. I was better than that in my day. When I was alive.
When I was alive. But maybe that's the thing about ghosts. Maybe, you know, go... this is because...
They would... If ghosts were able to do
get
that,
it on...
They wouldn't be hanging around on staircases and down dark corridors, would they?
But maybe that's why ghosts are making those noises. Ooh! Yeah. Faster, Derek! Yeah. Well, I think it'd be... Vicky, I'm going to ask you. I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
That's okay.
If you could watch Here and Now, anybody getting it on, who would it be? And this is, I don't mean... I'm not trying to make this show pervy. I'm saying out of pure...
Too late.
I'm out of pure fascination. Like, in the same way that I would love to see seahorses copulate.
Mm.
Because... How do they do that, right?
Google it. I'm sure it's out there.
I mean, I have Googled it. Of course I've Googled
it. It's on your favourites.
Oh, jeez. can barely move on my phone for videos of seahorses getting it on. Go on, wrap your tail around that string of over.
Ride them.
Of course, seahorses.
How does it work with seahorses, though?
Vicky,
this is what I'm confused about.
Yeah?
How does it work with seahorses? Because the boy seahorse carries the babies, doesn't he?
Yes, that's right.
I think it's outside, isn't it?
How does it work?
Yeah, I think it's an external thing.
Oh, okay. Well, they kind of, like, excrete something and the other person's sort of, like...
Yeah.
I can't say that. You know what
they're
I mean.
They're fish, aren't they? Is it, they don't pop out live young, do they?
No.
Come on, Rufus. Don't tell me you didn't watch the end of the film.
Yeah, once the interesting stuff was done, I was like, yeah, yeah, and then they have a baby, what else? Vicky, I said I wasn't going to put you on the spot, so I'm not going to put you on the spot. What I am going to do is take a few moments to listen to some advertising, during which time I'm going to Google how seahorses reproduce, and then I'm going to share that with you, and also ask you for the people you would like to see hump if you were a ghost.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
The reproductive process begins when a male and a female seahorse do daily pre-dawn dances, intertwining their tails and swimming together. Eventually, they engage in a true courtship dance, which can last as long as 8 hours. It ends with the female depositing her eggs in the male's pouch.
Lucky cow. 8 hours.
8 hours.
It can't all be fun, can it?
It's a true courtship. Just because you've never had a true courtship dance.
8 hours?
Don't judge someone.
Oh.
Next you'll be saying you don't like Sting. Vicky, you were either cut off or hung up, and then we phoned you back because the question remains, if you could see, if you were a ghost and could watch people hump, who would you watch?
Well, I was thinking about this, and this is a strategic viewing.
Lovely.
Russell Brand, and the reason being is I'd like to see whether sex addiction does actually improve your ability.
Whether practice makes perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing is, he's undergone a personal transformation, hasn't he? He's now a sort of one-woman man with a baby, and he lives in the countryside, and he's trying to be a bit more, you know, down the line. And
I would imagine he doesn't do it like a sex addict with his wife and mother of child. You know what
no.
I mean?
Yeah. Maybe if I was going to do that, if you could time travel as a ghost.
Those were not the rules, Vicky! Those were not the rules! When we laid out our ghost perv copulation...
we didn't say time travel and ghost perv.
That was it. There was no time travel involved.
For pervy reasons, though, it'd be Ewan McGregor.
Right, okay, yeah, just for straight up, like, let me see that. Although,
yeah. We've all seen his bum.
I was going to say...
I've seen his bum more than I've seen mine.
He goes full frontal in almost every movie he does.
Yeah.
He insists on it.
Yeah. At one point, he was referring to his old chap as the Last Jedi. The Last One Eye.
I named my son after him.
You named your son after Ewan McGregor?
I did.
McGregor?
Yeah. Ewan McGregor, even.
But I actually named him after him.
Well,
because
that...
of the full frontal thing, or was that just a coincidence?
Not really. I mean, you kind of think that would be a little bit pervy, wouldn't you? But no, I like the name. I thought there isn't too many Ewans around. I was a little bit worried he'd get called Ewan at school, but he didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was all good. And there was no other Ewans in his class. So, you know, it was all good in the hood.
All good in the hood.
In the hood. Vicky,
I am going to make a note of this, and over the course of the next hour and 15 minutes, we will compile a table of who people want to see getting it on if they were a ghost. Vicky in Croydon says, Ewan McGregor. Thank you for calling, Vicky. Ray, you've been holding on for blinking ages as well. We just gab away. Ray, this is the problem, man. You know, we've got adverts to hit, and then I don't want to start one and then have to go to an advert and come back. And all. I don't know if people are going to keep ringing in, so I want to kind of keep a few in the bank. So, Ray, this is a long-form apology, as indeed it is to Jonathan in Swansea and Pablo on mobile. but we will get to you all as long as you don't, you know, as long as you don't mind patiently waiting. Ray, thank you for joining us.
No problem at all. If it's okay with you, I'm going to call you Rufus.
Well, it's not. I mean, we all know it's Rupert, but Roy will will accept it.
I've just rung in to tell Catherine, really, a very traumatic event that I went through about 4 years ago.
You want to talk to Catherine?
Yeah, I come to the right place.
I am background noise to you, Ray. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you're not, because I think you might be able to help me with the story at some point.
So, all right, Ray.
So what am I useful for, then? Just nodding?
Well, I'm telling you the story, because I'm guessing you might not know it.
All right, Ray, just very quickly, where are you in the world?
You're not going to say my phone's rubbish, are you?
No, I'm not.
Oh, are you muffled, Roy?
I'm doing my table of people who our callers would like to watch getting it on if they were a ghost. And so far I've got Vicky in Croydon, and I've got Ray, but I don't know where you are, Ray, and my table will feel incomplete.
I'm in Surrey.
Okay.
Keep it broad, Ray. Keep it broad. That way they can't find you.
The reason he's touchy about that is because we always berate him for being muffled. But today you sound really, really clear. So I'm imagining this story is about you buying a new phone.
No. See, I think it's a conspiracy. I think it's Ian, then, that's mucking my phone up. Yeah. No, so this
he's very like that.
Yeah, he is.
I was in a theatre in North London, early March 2013, and it was about quarter...
Can tell you you're a former copper.
No, don't... And it's about quarter to midnight.
Yeah.
Is this ringing any bells yet, Rufus?
Oh, God.
Oh, hang on. Yeah, no.
Where were you on the night in question?
I mean, let's be honest, what was the time?
1st of March 2013 at 11:45 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have been drunk out of my head. So, I mean, frankly, the fact that I'm not drunk now is something of a worry because it's breaking a lifetime record. But yes, go on, Ray. You were at North London Theatre 4 years ago.
You were on stage.
I was on stage.
Mark Watson's 25-hour show.
Oh, yes. Oh, fine. Yeah, The Pleasance. This was for comic relief.
Yes.
Now, Ray, unfortunately, old sausage, I'm not entirely sure. If you're phoning to try and embarrass me, you're barking up the wrong tree, because I think what Kath is thinking is that there I was stumbling around, drunk, outside
hoping.
The theatre, windmilling. But the God's honest truth is that I offered to perform a very specific cabaret act if enough money was raised for comic relief, and not enough money was raised, so I wasn't going to do it. And then they basically made Jennifer Saunders donate about £4,000 so that I did have to do it. Ray, I don't want to take the wind out of your sails. By all means, continue with the tale.
Well, it's funny you mentioned windmilling, because it certainly did involve that.
Oh, God. Was it a special dance?
Ray, I will provide some background to this, which is Mark Watson was famous for doing these very long shows, and Comic Relief, who over the years have become a more professional organisation, said that they missed some of the anarchy of the old days, where anything could happen. It was just give us a TV studio, point a camera at us, you know, we'll see how we get on. But over the years, they've made £1 billion for some of the most desperate people on earth. And what's not to support about that? But Mark Watson, doing these long, rambling shows, they said, well, let's get behind that and have some of the old anarchy back. Mark then put a call out amongst a bunch of people that he knew, said he was doing this long show. Was there something people could bring to the fore? And years prior, I had owned a rubber chicken mask and had imagined a cabaret act that involved that I was going to call You Can't Make an Omelette, that involved wearing a rubber chicken mask and not much else.
Oh, God.
But the idea... Well, I mean, Ray, I don't know how I can describe this without stealing your thunder here, but...
No, please carry on. You're doing a fine job.
The idea that I had, essentially, was this. That using the pendulum effect, you could gaffer tape a camping mallet to your old chap.
Oh, God.
And then sellotape an egg to your chest.
Right. Oh.
And then by rhythmically swinging your hips backwards and forwards, generate enough momentum to swing the hammer up and smash the egg.
Was this before you had children?
No. Well, the time I had the idea, it was. But by the time Mark was doing the 25-hour show. So then what I suggested to Mark, having had this idea dormant in the back of my mind for many years, as not something I would ever really do, knowing that they were trying to get back to a spirit of anarchy and that kind of thing, I said to him, well, what if I tried to break 25 eggs in for the 25 years, and it all ties into the 25? We'll set the like, if you can pull in, I forget what it was now. Can you remember, Ray? About, I think it was about 10 grand or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something like that.
You know, people were live streaming and tweeting, and could you give money and that kind of thing. And they were well off it. It was not going to happen. But the God's honest truth is that having had the idea and imagining it were possible, I then said to him, actually, I've got no idea whether that is viable at all.
No.
And so I tried it at home, and singularly, one of the most painful, one of the least good ideas. I mean, I am not a man unfamiliar with bad ideas or promising things that he cannot deliver. But once all this money was on the table, a lot of it from Jennifer Saunders, who to this day still haven't quite forgiven, if I'm perfectly honest.
Don't blame you.
You know, I get National Treasure, absolutely fabulous, blah, 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 you know.
Also turns out cowbag.
Look, absolute cowbag. And not afraid to use her wealth to inflict truly.
Thinking of the mechanics of this, the ergonomics. Were you lying down?
No, no. Well, this is what we ended up deciding, because the original idea was I would hold the egg at my... This is the sternum, isn't
yeah.
it? This part here.
Your solar plexus.
The solar plexus, yeah. Well, where the ribs join. Mm-hmm. Where your ribs come down. I would hold it there and then swing my... swing the mallet up like a cocksure Thor. and smash the egg. And then once I had the rhythm going, I would just be past eggs... As I, as my hips moved like a majestic surfer. And instead, having tried it at home, what I realised is, what actually happens is, instead of that pendulum effect of it rolling up and down, what actually happens is you flick the mallet up, and then it falls immediately down with all of the force that gravity can bring to it. And if you have gaffer tape the end of that two-year-old chap... It makes you ask some serious questions about what you thought you were doing in the first place. But having said I would do it, I maintained my end of the bargain. And the reason I will tell you here and now, and I think this may chime with some of our listeners, when people come round at work with the old charity form, right? Or, you know, sponsor me doing this, sponsor me doing that, sponsor me doing this. It's always something that sounds bloody lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to walk the Great Wall of China. Are you? Well, that's a holiday, isn't it? That's one of the great sights. Why are we paying for that? Why have I got to put my hand in my... Oh, I'm going to do a parachute jump. Oh, right, you're terrified of heights. No, I've always wanted to do one. Well, bloody pay for it yourself! Why are you coming around with a hat? So I have this thing in my head that unless something is truly awful, mm-hmm. I'm not sponsoring you.
Unless there's gaffer tape involved, don't talk to Rufus.
Unless you are prepared to do something that you genuinely do not want to do, I'm not giving you any money.
The thing is, the best case scenario in that was that you hit it, and that you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt your chest.
Yeah.
And you're going to hurt your
My old chap. Yeah. No, but
it went on for over 10 minutes.
Yeah, but this is.
Did you cry?
As Ray will attest, what we ended up doing was not holding eggs on my chest, because that drop, when the mallet goes up and then drops immediately back down, that was not something I could replicate, having tried it once in my kitchen. And also, may I put this image in the mind of the listener?
Someone sent me the YouTube.
As weird as this might sound, doing it in front of an audience full of people, it is even weirder doing it alone in your own kitchen. as you are standing amongst your familiar pots and pans, slowly wrapping gaffer tape around the end of a hammer and your most private self. You are already aware that you have overpromised and are about to underdeliver. So instead what we did was we sellotaped 25 eggs to a scaffold plank, and rather than then be up that high, I could swing and then take a step forward and have the hammer land down on each egg. And also to protect what... I mean, let's be honest, there's no real modesty involved here, but I wore a tiny crown and a little cape and a pair of wrestling tights into which I'd cut a hole so that people weren't as offended by this meat, this sweaty meat sack known as Rufus Hound.
Now, for that to be the more sensible option shows you just how outlandish the original plan was.
Yeah. But Ray, you are not alone in being somebody who was present and scarred by it. The fact that you would hold on for a full hour just I mean, I feel like it's exorcising a demon. Wherever David Babcock is right now, I mean, you can look for all the ghosts you want, but maybe the true spirits of evil lie inside the mind of somebody who has watched another man dressed in a child's king outfit smash eggs with a hammer strapped to his penis.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
What I'm going to say sounds ridiculous.
And the completely unorthodox.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
You never know just where the conversation will take you.
Is that Commando?
Late Night with Rufus Hound, in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I mean, the pre-recorded voice is absolutely right. That is exactly what's happening. Can't believe you got my name wrong, though. Rupert Hound. I mean, it's not hard, is it?
It's an outrage.
An outrage. You're listening to Talk Radio. Rupert Hound in for Ian Lee. If you want to join in, please do. 03444... Now, let's get this right. 99. And we think 1000.
Or 1000, if you will.
1000, I mean, you know. Yeah. 0344. That doesn't look right to me. Or you can text 87222, start your message with talk. We were keeping a chart here of the people, if you were a ghost and could watch people humping, who would you watch hump? Vicky and Croydon kicked off with Ewan McGregor, and Ray, we lost before we asked. So of the two calls that we've had since we started this, we are literally at a 50% hit rate.
Okay, well, I'm sure we can do better.
We can do
better. Who's up next?
Ray, if you're listening, and I pray that you are, please text in the text number, as we just said, 87222. Start the message with talk. Who would you like to see hump if you were a ghost? We turn our attentions now, though, to Jonathan in Swansea. Good night to Jonathan.
Hello, Rupert.
Hey! I think we're going to keep this going. The whole Rupert thing, and that's how we'll know the people who were with us right from the get-go.
Yeah, sort of the wheat from the chaff.
Confuse the hell out of everyone else. Jonathan, you join us to share your feelings and thoughts.
Yeah, I was just going to suggest a guest for Ian when he comes back.
Okay.
Yes, there's this retired firefighter in America called Mark Taylor, and he's written a book called The Trump Prophecies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not going to happen, Jonathan, but thanks very much.
Oh, is he a massive nutcase, this Mark Taylor fella?
Well, just we're a bit, but, you know, it's just not going to happen. But thanks, Jonathan. I won't be chasing.
So that won't be happening.
No.
Just out of interest, though, Jonathan, why were you keen to have him on? I mean, the Trump prophecy, it already sounds weird. I'll be honest, Jonathan.
Because I've got some videos of him on YouTube talking to a couple of journalists, and he's very engaging, charismatic, and a lot of what he says.
I mean, fascists are, aren't they? That's how fascism works. You have somebody very engaging and charismatic at the forefront of it, and then they sneak in a load of things that are, you know, reprehensible and
wicked.
Anti-human.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Mark Taylor's a fascist.
Well, I don't know anything about him.
Oh, well, he's just a firefighter who one day had visions from God telling him that Trump would be president and Trump would save America. And
right, so he's a lunatic.
The election. Well, let's put it to the test, shall
well,
we?
Let's put it to the test. Save America, you say?
Save America.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So the nation currently on the brink of a nuclear disagreement with North Korea.
I think too much is being made of that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in your long and varied history of studying international affairs and peace brokering. I think that's probably worth taking on board. Why do you think, Jonathan, people are prepared to give Donald Trump such a ruddy hard time? The man's done nothing wrong.
They're afraid of what they don't understand.
I thought it might be that, because fear motivates all. That's what we learnt from Darth Vader, wasn't it?
Well, Trump isn't Darth Vader. He's real, for one.
Well, you say that. Is he real? Because got a touch of the Pixars, if you ask me. Actually, that's unfair. That is unfair, because Pixar are very careful with their colour balance. There's no way they'd offer up a character that orange and expect us to believe in it. So, no, maybe he is real. I'll give you that. Trump is real. Right, I'm writing this down. How we know Trump is good. One, he's real. And you say he's not Darth Vader, but Darth Vader, of course, was, intent on everybody doing what he said, pinning down any sense of rebellion or free-spiritedness, a sort of unified vision of how everyone should behave. So, I mean, I'm not seeing any similarities now. Trump's insistence that there's a massive military increase in spending. I'm just going to say the words Death Star. So, again, no parallel there. And, of course, Darth Vader obsessed with lineage and who his son really was. That would mean that, for example, Trump would have to employ his own son in a senior cabinet position, which, either overtly, directly or indirectly. So, I mean, you're right. He's nothing like Darth Vader at all.
No, he isn't. I'm enjoying his presidency so far.
What about really it specifically are you enjoying, Jonathan?
Mainly other people's reactions to it. And how hysterical it is.
Yes, it's fun, isn't it, watching people you don't like lose their minds?
Well, it's not even necessarily people I don't like. It's just, who are you? Why should I bother that you're throwing a temper tantrum over a man in the White House?
Well, I mean, that's a slightly disingenuous way of putting it, Jonathan. I mean, the reason people are throwing a temper tantrum isn't because it's that specific man in the White House. It's the office. It's that those little stumpy hands are on the levers of power. That's why people are upset. Not, because he holds... He's not like the Queen, where it's all ceremonial and they can say whatever they want. It doesn't really have any effect. Like, what he says has a huge impact, like losing Obamacare. I'm imagining, Jonathan, you are pro-NHS, are you?
No.
Right, okay.
No.
Why, no, just out of interest, why not?
It encourages a culture of dependency, and it is something of a Stalinist meat grinder.
Yeah, a culture of dependency on what? Chemotherapy?
No.
Because, I do know people who've been having chemotherapy, and they seem bloody dependent on it, I'll be honest with you.
No, they're dependent on the state, big government, daddy taxpayer.
Sure. So what would you rather, a sort of Mad Max system where everyone fenced themselves and we just strap weaklings onto the front of cars and smash them into each other? Because that's not, if I'm honest, that isn't necessarily a forward-thinking way of dealing with the unwell.
Well, exactly, because it's fantasy.
Right, but if you take away medicine from people who need it, then what is your suggestion we should do instead?
People managed for thousands of years without the NHS.
Yes, and their life expectancy was about 45. Well, listen, mate, Jonathan, I am open to hear you explain why an idea is a good idea, but you can't point to a period in history where people, were literally dying of diseases which are now curable and say that's a better way of doing it. Life expectancy was way down. People were broken by the things that afflicted them. You're from bloody Swansea. The NHS was founded on the principles that have been put in place by the mining community, where they all had a whip round so that when people were unwell, it wasn't delivered at the point of who could pay for it, it was delivered at the point of need.
But was it the NHS that cured these people, or medical advances and the kindness of human beings?
It was the NHS who were using medical advances in order to make people better. Because there wasn't going to be a bill at the end of it. Do you know what the biggest cause of bankruptcy is in America?
The NHS, because we took a loan from them in 1945, started up.
I'm sorry to tell you this, Jonathan. That logic literally does... I mean, that's not even pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. What you've done is answer a question with a series of noises. The biggest cause of bankruptcy in America is when people get sick. Because then they get sick, they have the treatment, and then they're expected to pay for it. So if you get cancer, even if you've got insurance, you might be responsible for the first piece of payment where you need multiple treatments. You're still going to end up having to sell your house.
Well, not necessarily. There are plenty of charitable hospitals.
Oh, so we shouldn't be doing it by taxation. We should just be waiting for kind people to occasionally dish out money to stop you dying of cancer or lung failure or something. That's a better way, is it, that you just have a crapshoot where hopefully charitable people step forward?
Well, there's nothing charitable about stealing from people in the form of taxation.
Well, no, but that would be to define taxation as stealing, which it isn't. It's about understanding that you live in a society that is able to provide a healthy workforce who aren't going to be, you know, dead by the time you've trained them, or broken by illness, or having to take time off to look after somebody in their lives who are ill. The taxation that we pay will pay for the roads and the infrastructure, the education of that workforce, that by working together, we provide a society, a way of organising ourselves in which we can all benefit and we can all improve, and rather than just being born wealthy. I mean, you know, you're heroising Donald Trump, but that is far from a self-made man.
Yeah, he had inherited wealth and he played the system to his advantage.
Well, he didn't.
I'm not blaming him for that.
He didn't play the system to his advantage. The wealth he inherited, if he'd have just put that in the bank and done nothing, he'd have more money now than he had through all of his business deals, so he didn't play the system to his advantage. I mean, you can certainly argue he played the American political system to his advantage, but that wouldn't be the same as saying that he is astute. I mean, the man lost money running a casino, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, well, Hillary Clinton lost more money on her
election. We're not talking about Hillary Clinton. We're not talking about Hillary Clinton. You've just done what Donald Trump does, which is you don't address the point. You just go, but what about her?
I have addressed the point. You said something, and I made a comparison.
I said he lost money running a casino, and you said, yes, but Hillary Clinton. We're not talking about Hillary Clinton. We are talking about Donald Trump on his own merits. And you're just referring, pushing that off. So come on, Jonathan, join in. We'll talk about Donald Trump.
Well, people have lost plenty of money on plenty of things. Donald Trump isn't the only one who's lost money on investments.
No, I'm saying in the specific example of the man we are talking about, not just this happens to lots of people, he isn't good at business. He inherited his wealth, he got incredibly lucky, and he doesn't want to pay taxes, which is why he's introduced this massive tax cut, which will only benefit the 0.1% at the very top of the American economic system, to support that, well, I'll tell you what's wrong with it. To support it, he's cutting Obamacare that is genuinely saving the lives of tens of thousands of Americans who can't afford health insurance. Now, tell me how that is a fair system, because that's not stealing. That is saying that you exist in a country that is capable of generating wealth, and that the wealth that country generates should then reflect in the quality of life of the people who live within that country.
Well, the last I heard, insurance premiums skyrocketed under Obamacare, and if you couldn't afford to pay for a scheme, you were fined by the state.
Yes, but what Obamacare did was it gave people an option that wasn't those rocketing health insurance costs. Those rocketing health insurance costs were a reflection of the fact that there was an alternative. Where there is no alternative, the market was fixed. So people could apply for Obamacare and have some level of insurance, but what the insurers did was get the jitters and raise their prices because they were worried that there was going to be a huge move to people moving on to ACA.
Well, people didn't need Obamacare. Most of those 34 million who didn't have health insurance
didn't need
were
it.
People in their 20s looking to get
And nobody in their 20s has ever got sick or been hit by a bus. So why would young people need healthcare?
Well, 34 million without healthcare in a nation of 300 million plus people.
Yeah, it's 10%. And do you know what the percentage of people who don't have healthcare in Britain is? Zero. 100. So how is that not better?
Well, I, I believe that people are perfectly capable of making their own arrangements without daddy government interfering and bossing people around.
Right, well, that's fine for you to believe that. But you might also believe that unicorns are going to bring you Christmas presents. Just because you believe something doesn't make it real. You can believe what you want to believe, but you can also be forced in an argument like this to have to look at the facts. And the facts are that saying you believe people can make their own arrangements is about the same as saying every time I pick my nose, gold comes out. I believe it's true. Well, okay, you believe that, but what you're actually saying is you're a maniac. You're an insane person. Because the facts don't support any of the things you are saying. And if they did, I would be on your side.
The words you're searching for is mirror, because you see yourself through the mirror of me, and you don't like what you see. So you blame the mirror.
Okay, well, that's because this mirror's got crap smeared all over it.
Well, that's not my problem.
Well, I mean, it was you that put it there. I was very happy here in my studio, but you've talked...
in your safe space.
I'm sorry. Hang on. None of these calls are filtered. This is my first day on the job, and this is me in my safe space. Jonathan, the people that work here saw your name come up, went, you might not want to talk to him. And I'm like, no, let's have these conversations. I'm fine having these conversations. I don't need a safe space at all, Jonathan. You get me very wrong if you think that's what this is. But I'm asking you how a system that does not give 100% of people healthcare in one of the richest nations on earth is a better system than the system we have currently that is being broken. And we are moving towards an American system, meaning that less people will have healthcare in this country. That the, you know, we know now, the jig is up. You can argue it blue rosette, red rosette, whatever. But you can talk to junior doctors, you can talk to nurses, you can talk to people who are working in that profession, and you can see that our NHS is being broken. Now,
well,
for you to
NHS,
say...
that's not mine.
Okay, well then, do you know something?
I never voted for the NHS.
Jonathan, the next time you are ill, the next time you are poorly, I respect your decision not to go to a doctor. If you're ever diagnosed with an incurable disease, I respect your decision to sit alone in your home, rocking backwards and forwards, wishing yourself better. Hey, because maybe, you know something? If you believe it, it'll come true.
I'm glad you have such a high opinion of me. It really brings a smile to my face.
Well, I live to impress and please, Jonathan.
Well, you're everything I expected you to be, so well done.
Well, you're welcome. I'm delighted to have met your expectations. To be honest, I didn't really know how this would go, but I'm glad to know that you had some, foresight in all of this. Look,
oh, yes.
Mate, the God's honest truth is this. The things that you think, you said it yourself at the beginning of this conversation, are far more predicated on how the people that you disagree with respond to it. You can't defend your position because your position isn't an actual position to take. Your position is, if I take this position, it makes those people feel worse about themselves, and I like that. If that's the kind of person you want to be, knock yourself out, compadre, but don't drag the rest of us down with you.
Uncut after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation. Late Night with Rufus Hound. In for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Rupert Hound here on your Talk Radio, covering for Ian Lee for the foreseeable. It's 12:22, which is a lovely number to look at because it's just loads of twos. And 1-1. Pablo, you've been on hold for about 9 days, I think.
Yes, Rubles, yes. But lovely to hear Jonathan's quite as frothing mad as usual.
It's just, it bugs me that those people always revert to the same nonsense, which is, oh, yeah, you're safe space and you're, you know, we're not allowed to say what we think anymore. We live in 2017. You can start a web channel, a blog, you know, you can phone in the show.
He's on here every other day.
He's on here every other day, like... Like, you have a platform, but what you just don't have is any way of backing up any of the moronic nonsense that you're spouting. And if you did, I will listen. If you're out there and you have got a much better handle on why that is a better way of conducting ourselves or our affairs, ring in, explain it to me. I am not closed-minded about this, but I've just done enough reading that the bullcrap smells like bullcrap.
Well, that's a ridiculous thing with these kind of people, Jonathan included, is that most of their arguments kind of work on an opt-out system, which is, if you're not happy with it, then you're quite happy to opt out. And I think the only thing that stopped them from doing it in the past is the fact that they needed to be plugged into their internet at home. These days, you can do it all through your phone. They can just go get a tent and move to a field somewhere, not bother anybody, not be bothered by anybody, and yeah. they can do their little video chats there, and they'll all be super happy.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a bit like somebody letting their dog defecate on your front step. And then when you ask them not to, they go, oh, you want a safe space. You're like, no. Your dog should poo where it feels free, just not in anyone's way, where anyone can see it, or where anyone is bothered by it.
Well, that's it. Then you don't agree with taxes, then nobody's saying you have to pay taxes. Just disappear, don't have a job, just live off the fat of the land, do all the things that you apparently say that you can do.
Yeah.
You know, and job done. Nobody bothers, you know, it's all sorted. You know, everybody's happy in their own little camps.
But the bizarre thing, and I'll be honest with you, Pablo, I have spent no short amount of time thinking about ways of not being part of this system or this society, especially in the last few years. And
well, we're just... Oh, sorry.
No, all I was going to say was, you always come down to the same thing, though, with this argument. And I'm putting this out there because I'm not entirely convinced that I am not going to do this. But you end up having to work out, like, well, am I going to go and live alone in the woods and be a hermit? Because that is one way of doing it. But once you get outside of that, of like, no, okay, I need other people, I've got family, I've got friends, I want to live amongst people, then you have to start asking the question of, right, how are we going to organise ourselves? And once you start thinking about how we're going to organise ourselves, and you go, well, what are we going to need? Well, a couple of doctors, right? Because, you know, outside of anyone hurting themselves or being made better, need a couple of doctors. Right, well, do you want old doctors who are about to die or young doctors? Well, young doctors, right, because they're going to be with you for the long haul. Well, they're going to need kids. All right, well, they're not going to come if their kids aren't going to get taught anything. So then we're going to need a couple of teachers. And who's going to feed all of these people? And you end up with literally a list of about 5,000 people that you need to sort of run a relatively functional society where you're not basically living in the dark ages. And...
At what point do you need a Jonathan?
Well, that's the thing. I think he's probably the exception to the rule. He's the he could be the arbiter. He's the one who picks everybody based on his vast knowledge.
Well,
and
no,
then
but that's
left behind.
But that is what fascism is. I will decide what value you have, and then you have to do what I tell you to do.
I'll just pop round and get 10% of everything you make once every 3 months, and go back to my palace.
That's it. So if you're going to have that society where you end up with all those people and you're going to try and live a sort of, you know, smaller scale but functional life, then you end up working out that you've got to share everything.
You've got to make a lot of new friends. You've got to start up like some sort of feudal village system. And then before you know it, we're just back to, you know, building the refortifying Hadrian's Wall and stopping people from...
You've taken a few leaps there, Pablo, in logic. The first one being that immediately the thing about starting your own colony is that you are immediately at war with the Scots.
Well, no, it would break down the feudal channels. Where I am, it's more likely that it's going to... Although saying that, we could just bond with the Scots and take the south.
Where are you? Where are you in the world, Pablo? Because you sound to me like you've got a lovely northern brogue.
Yeah, well, I'm the northeast, Whitley Bay.
Oh, Whitley Bay. Cockles and mussels alive-o.
Yep. And some lovely ice cream these days.
Yeah, is it Whitley... No, I might be getting this wrong. Do you have a big Gothic festival up that way as well?
No, that's Whitby.
Whitby! That's what I'm getting wrong. Is, apologies.
Well, we used to be called Whitley, without the bay, but one time somebody died in Scotland, strangely enough... And on the way back, they lived in Whitby. Oh, no, they lived in Whitley, and they were delivered to Whitby by mistake. So they added the bay to what, Whitley Bay. To
for one person?
One, Whitley. Honestly, you misdeliver one corpse, and the whole thing's over.
Well, apparently, it was a regular
issue that kept cropping up, and then after somebody was directly affected by it in, you know, a family, a sad family, were even sadder. Then all of a sudden, that was the variable straw that broke the camel's back.
Okay. Was it just corpses being delivered, or was it all other?
QILs were up in Newcastle not that long ago, so I looked up facts on it. So if you look it up on Wikipedia, there's a name and everything, there's a date and all sorts, but I don't have that memory at hand at the minute. But it's all out there, it's a matter of record.
It's on Wikipedia, that's not necessarily the same thing. saying I saw a documentary on YouTube.
I saw other things pop up on Google, which I didn't look at, which equally is probably not as reliable a source, but, you know, there you go. I'll Bing it.
Ask
Yeah,
Jeeves.
That's it. Other search engines are available, but none are as good. Did you ring for anything specific, Pablo, or were you just...
Well, one thing, I mean, obviously I heard in regards to the sexy ghost stuff.
Yes, sexy ghost. If you were a ghost...
Not sexy, pervy, let's be
pervy.
Honest.
Pervy, yeah. And again, I was trying to frame it up as not being pervy, as a sort of naturalist, as a ghostly observer of humankind in its most reduced.
Yeah.
Which
you dress
alive...
it up however you want.
Maybe as a French maid. So this Pablo was, I'm just going to write this down, Pablo Whitley Bay, and the person you would like to see getting giggity is...
Well, it's a celebrity couple, more for curiosity than anything else.
Yeah.
It's the Crankies.
Oh, God.
The Crankies!
I just want to see, because I've always had my suspicion that the whole kind of... wife being dressed up as a little boy and the husband being like a kind of general figure.
It is.
Parental. Yeah, I just wanted to see if that started in the bedroom and then became cabaret, or became cabaret then went to the bedroom, or whether it's just completely separate.
The Crankies is one of those things that just... again, what did I say about 80s show business? At the time, of course it was mainstream family viewing. But if somebody came along...
They did make sexy jokes, didn't they?
Oh, and apparently their live show was filth.
On the old social club circuit, apparently around Scotland, there used to be Right Source.
Yeah, I think we've all heard those rumours, but it's probably libelous for us to mention them on air.
That one is right, yeah. But
I just wonder if at the point of completion one of them yells Fan Davidozy.
Oh,
surely
God.
That's the safe word.
Yeah.
The other thing,
yeah.
Move quickly on. Have you seen any of Gone to Pot, ITV's take a bunch of old celebrities to America and get them stoned?
I saw this in the paper, but I've not seen it in real life. Butcher smoking a massive bong.
Pat Butcher, more like Pat Dutcher, the way she was putting away.
Have you been working on material before this call, Pablo? Because I applaud you if you have.
I was quite pleased with it earlier. So there you've got to, was it Bobby George, the darts fella, I think?
Yeah.
John Fashanu.
Right.
Who's just something suspicious about that man. He abstained until some weed smoking nuns rubbed some weed oil on him and gave him a massage.
He abstained from a show called Gone to Pot. Like, it was a surprise that he was going to be asked to have some pot.
Yeah, well, every single celebrity has like some sort of malady which would be beneficial with a bit of pot.
And
they Yeah, well, they went over there, paid like a Dr. Feelgood $100, and he said, "Oh yes, I'll give you a card to show at a dispensary."
Yeah,
And Pat Butcher went to town. So did Biggins. Well, actually, Biggins didn't smoke. Biggins preferred the edibles, but
of course he did. I mean, you know, God love the man, but you know, given the choice between smoking and a big biscuit. I think we all know where Biggins' chips are on that table.
Let's go through the rundown again. So it's
Bobby George,
Pat Butcher, Fashanu, and Biggins. And it's not just about watching them get high. It's a medical experiment. It's a serious research program.
Yeah, it's to see if what they've done in America would be beneficial in England.
Yeah, sure it is.
But equally, it's just like a bunch of... Oh, and you've got the kind of the dour-looking one from Birds of a Feather on there as well.
Pauline Quirk.
No, the other
Linda
one.
Robson.
That's it. I mean, she's often happy when she's being happy, but she's got a resting sad face.
Oh, yeah.
She has got a resting sad face. But I tell you something, I've met that woman on several occasions. When you become a bit famous, sometimes you get invited to screenings of films. And when you've got kids, you get on some list where they base every kids movie that comes out. I get invited to, you know, do you ever see in a magazine, Pablo, where they say we're doing a big screening and you could win tickets and all of that?
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically a load of competition winners. And then they basically ask you if you want to turn up and sort of basically stand in front of a video camera after it and going, yeah, it's really great. Yeah, I loved it. So I get invited to loads of those. And so does Linda Robson, because I think it's her nieces or I wouldn't like to say whether she had grandchildren or something.
She has, because I the times I work, I do get to catch loose women.
Ah.
And she's recently welcomed a little baby. I'm not sure whether that's the first granddaughter, but I think her children are still fairly...
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Look, she is in the lives of some young
children.
People. And so we end up sitting next to each other on occasion watching...
Well, where are the kids at this point?
Watching Snoopy or something.
Oh, God, did you see that, the Peanuts movie?
Yes!
Oh, I thought it was awful.
Did you?
Yeah.
I have never really been a big fan of the whole Peanuts thing.
It's not a kid's film, is it?
There's some existential ennui. But if you remember the old Peanuts cartoons, then it felt like quite a loving homage, and on those grounds I could quite enjoy it. But yeah, it's certainly no Big Hero 7.
No, I think you need to be a 50-year-old American man to love that film.
Yeah. Yeah. It was nostalgia writ large.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she is an absolutely lovely woman. But I agree, maybe a resting face of somebody not enjoying themselves, but certainly every time I've ever seen her, a joy to be around.
You seem the most grounded one out of all of them. She seemed the nicest one. But you did get to see Bobby George and Biggins going a massive whitey at the end, which was quite...
Now, Pablo, I'm going to ask you, you should feel free to be as vague about this or own it fully. But you sound to me like a man who's no stranger to the green.
That may or may not be a fact.
Fair enough.
But I'm only using terminology they use on the television show, so I could just be a complete novice.
Yes, you could. Although I would say that the efforts you've gone to make this as vague as possible would. But look, Pablo, no one's judging. I was wondering if maybe you had your own feelings about this that you wanted to share from the perspective of somebody who has knowledge of the...
In that regard, I don't necessarily believe the American system is the best way forward. I think Norway, I think, where total legalization, I think, is the best route. Because I think it's Sweden, that's it. In Sweden, not that I would partake in this, but heroin, for example, they've made heroin completely legal. So you've got to go into shooting galleries and it's all paid for by the government. And, you know, you dictate how much you have. They'll never give you more than a... unsafe dosage, and they've basically found that drug deaths, they've had zero drug heroin-related deaths since they've instigated this.
What's the recovery rate, though?
Well, I think it's something like 80%. It's really high, because once people are able to get it for free and there's no kind of criminal element to it, and you just basically turn up and you decide how much it is, then people lose the kind of interest in it, because after a little while it becomes less about the high and it's more about the chase of getting the high it's on a psychological level. So once there's no issue there, it kind of removes that. And street level prostitution has dropped completely as well, because it turns out that loads of people don't want to sell the police for sex, just for fun. It seems to be something to do with mass drug addiction. So things like that.
Do a bit of work with an outfit called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
All right.
Yes, I heard you on their on the podcast. I'm a follower of their work. Yes.
Yeah, they and I mean it is. It's sort
and this
of
this is what old coppers who've
so
seen
Law Enforcement Against Prohibition was what would you call them? A pressure group, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Started in America by these guys who are frontline war against drugs. And on this one occasion, this guy kicked open the door of a house because the daughter of this family had been... Somebody had walked past the house and smelt the smell of pot coming out of her window. And so they get reported and he kicks open the door and they go through and they find in her drawer like two joints and a bong. And as they're like putting this 14-year-old girl in handcuffs and the mum's crying and all of that, this the copper looks round the room and realises that it is almost identical to his own daughter's bedroom. And in that moment realises that these people are not criminals. They are people who are going through changes and making life choices and all of that. But they are being treated as if they are the scum of the earth. Mm-hmm. And that was the jumping on point for him of saying, I don't think that we are dealing with this problem or that we are dealing with this issue in the right way. And we are treating it like something it is not, which is a war. When in fact what this is, on the whole, are people who are unhappy using a substance, be whatever substance that is, to make themselves feel less alone and less happy. And we could be treating those people rather than treating those people like criminals.
Right, I get it. So instead of, because when people talk about legalisation, there is always the cry of, oh, but that just makes it normal, so people are allowed to be addicted for longer and, you know, families and will be destroyed as a result. It is that combined with addressing it as a kind of medical problem.
Well, what Law Enforcement Against Prohibition have compiled plenty of experts who are, you know, one of the people that I have worked alongside is a guy who was an ex-undercover copper who dealt with heroin.
Right.
And his whole thing is the way in which we fight this problem is only making it worse. Because you take that heroin dealer off the street and the next guy that comes in says, well, I have to be even more fierce and even worse than the last guy, and that's how I'll protect myself from being found out.
Yeah, because the stakes are higher.
The stakes are higher, and then you get rid of him. And so all of that money and all of that organisation is all channelled up into the pockets of these gangs who are making money hand over fist. And really what it's about is if you legalise it, yes, all right, the bottom tier of people are suddenly in a world where, oh, right, I can get this for... in the case of Portugal, and I think Switzerland as well, I can get it for free, I can go somewhere, I can be medicalised, but you are also in those places treated and given access to treatment and being given access to therapy. Mm-hmm. It takes people off that, and they're not interacting with all of the crime bosses above that, whose vested interest is to keep them going for as long as possible.
Yeah, and to use them for their own ends, I guess.
And to use them for their own ends. That you basically, once you take organised crime out of the drug war, you have almost immediately won the drug war, but you can only do that by legalising it.
Gosh.
Yeah, and I wanted to, just to clarify, it was Switzerland, what I was talking about before, not Sweden. It was Switzerland. That's the...
I had a feeling it might be. I didn't want to correct you, Pablo, because I enjoyed the rest of the point you were making. On that note, we thank you, and we listen to some advertisements.
Late night conversation worth losing sleep over.
Late night with Rufus Hound in for Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it is 12:15. If you've got to get up at 7:30 to get a train, you are not going to get enough sleep. That's going to have a detrimental effect on your life. But for Christ's sakes, don't stop listening. Simon, you're in the New Forest.
Oh, hello, Rupert.
Hey! Well, I'm going to clap every one of those in. Thank you, Simon. Thank you.
Is it a full moon tonight?
Is it a full moon? Well, because of the howling nature of many of the callers we've enjoyed this evening. I think we've hit about a 50-50. But I'm given to understand that it's, you know, basically the run of things. The sort of folk who often want to phone in aren't necessarily the most mentally functional.
Well, I mean...
I say that, Simon, of course. I've realised I've just brought you on.
We're all God's children, aren't we, Simon?
Evening, Kath, by the way, sorry.
Hello, I think he's fitting in beautifully, don't you?
Well, I'm as loopy as they come. But hey,
Whereabouts in the New Forest are you, Simon?
Up a tree.
Yeah. I was down that way recently. God, it's beautiful.
It's brilliant.
Oh, my days.
Well, you see, the New Forest thing is an old alias. I don't actually work in the New Forest anymore. I'm on the outskirts of it. I'm a cab driver. And I was based in Brockenhurst.
Oh, crumbs, right.
I've stayed there in an old mill.
I'm just trying to remember where Brockenhurst is.
In an old mill?
Not a mill, a barn.
Was it called the old mill?
It was called Dolly's Barn.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure that was
right.
Brockenhurst. Or somewhere.
Anyway, yeah. Simon, you're on the outskirts of the New Forest, driving around in your taxi, and you thought, I know, I'll give Rupert and Kath a ring.
I thought, I definitely need to speak to Rupert.
Yeah, well, here I am. I'm all yours, Simon.
As a matter of fact, just to upset all your taxi driver listeners, I am a taxi driver. I've got my own taxi company. I drive a Hackney Carriage vehicle. But I'm currently sitting in Southampton City Centre doing Uber, so stick that one in your pipe.
Yikes. Yeah. It's a tricky... you know something? I don't think we've got time to get into the whole Uber thing.
And they are kind of sponsors of various shows, so maybe we better not.
Oh, fine. Well, there you go, Simon. Yeah. The man has ground you to dust. See how your freedom of speech was quashed beneath the corporate jackboot.
I love it, though. I love my
taxi company.
Hey,
listen, if you love what you do, that's good enough. Simon, Jerry, I've got Jerry from Crewe, who's been hanging on for almost as long as you. So I'm going to ask you, would you either A, cut to the chase, or simply tell me who you would like to see make love if you were a ghost?
can I do both?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I think, listening... Now, Rupert, I've seen you on television a few times.
Apologies.
But the thing is, I've got to be honest, I haven't really paid much attention because...
Why would you?
I don't tend to watch, like, panel shows and things like that. I find them very contrived and very,
The lowest form of entertainment.
No, I'm not trying to
No, I know. I'm joshing. Simon,
well,
forgive me.
The thing is, I've now listened to you tonight for the longest that I've actually listened to you, and I feel that I've been missing out because you're actually not only very entertaining, but you also speak a lot of truth and a lot of good. And what I want to know is, why do we not have a man like yourself running this country?
I ask myself this on a minute-by-minute basis, Simon.
I've got the answer to that one. I've got the answer. Because you have to be a different kind of person to think you are up to the task of running a country, right?
There's an old Billy Connolly joke, which is the desire to be in charge should rule you out of being in charge. This is... do you know, Simon, if you're out and about in your private hire car in the next few days, ring in again... And we'll talk about the psychopathic society.
Sure.
Is that all right? It's only that if we don't shut this down now, then Jerry's going to have been hanging on all that time, and I want to be fair. So,
the answer to your other question?
Yes.
Eamon and Ruth.
Oh!
Dirty devil.
Yes. No, but that is... Oh, Simon, I wish we had longer, because I've set this up as a naturalist. To see how those beings entwine.
Yeah, because that is a dynamic, isn't
it? That's a dynamic, isn't it? There's a gravitational pull. There's a mammalian softness. I don't think you see that in nature. I think you've picked something incredibly strong there. Eamon and Ruth.
The right goer.
Well, that was what I was trying to avoid saying. But, Simon, maybe we'll speak about the Psychopathic Society sometime later in the week. Thank you for your call. Jerry... Again, apologies, you've been hanging on all this time. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, thank you. How
good.
Are you?
I'm all right, thank you. We've got about 5.5 minutes, Jerry.
I only think about 30 seconds. I'm all right. So, got people who like to see make love. Bauer and Big, face sitting with Abbott.
Jerry, I don't know if this is the line or maybe the reception. It could be our end or your end. But would you speak... Slightly more slowly.
Thanks, my end. Sorry. Yes, Bella Remberg and Russ Abbott.
Bella Remberg and Russ Abbott.
Bella Remberg and Russ Abbott!
I don't think they were married in real life, but I would like to believe they were.
Yeah. And I believe Bella has shuffled off this mortal coil, is she not?
Bless.
Google that. We're going to double-check that. I think that's right. I may be wrong. But Jerry in Crewe. Why Jerry, Russ Abbott and Bella Remberg?
I don't know. Just
for the costumes.
I have to say, she is still alive, so it could still happen.
Right, well, apologies to the Emberg estate for that assertion. And I trust she's thriving and
she's
incredibly
80?
Well. She's 80, having the time of her life.
I hope so.
80 in her prime.
80 in her prime, exactly so. Jerry, was there anything else you had for us?
Yeah, I'd like to...
music playing in the background. The new boxing team. That man off.
You like that music? You like
the
music?
The man who's in just our building. Knowles, girls. Nick Knowles, have you played a new album?
Nick Knowles.
I have a new album.
New album.
It's crap.
It's crap.
We got that.
Yeah, that was the bit we understood, Jerry. And sure, in many ways, it felt like the most pertinent wisdom to receive.
Take care, Rufus. I'm going to go now.
Oh, Jerry, thank you for waiting all that time. And thank you for sharing your 80s throwback ghost perv with us. We will round off the hour with Dom in Manchester. Dom.
Hi, is this the Chuckle Brothers sex special?
That's exactly what it is. To me, to you, to me, to you. Dom.
Can I end the show? Seems like we've changed your name. It kind of makes Ian Lee's podcast that he wants to redundant. So can I update it for
yes, please.
The show?
Yeah, go for it.
Rupert Hound. Rupert Hound.
For anyone.
Rupert Hound.
Keep going, Dom, I'll explain. For anyone
Rupert Hound.
Familiar with that.
Rupert Hound.
A former Ian Lee.
Rupert Hound.
So there was a thing where Rupert Ian Hound. Said my name, I think, non-stop Rupert for about 15
Hound.
Minutes.
Yeah, he did.
Rupert Hound?
So were you with him at that time?
No, Rupert but he boasts about it quite a lot.
He boasts about
Rupert
it quite a lot.
Yeah. Hound.
I did for consider Rupert having it for a Hound. Short period as my outgoing Rupert voicemail
Rupert
message.
Rupert Hound.
I'm sure I could get it for you if
that's
you wanted.
That's only going to annoy people, isn't it?
Rupert Hound.
Yeah. Well, look, Kath, I have a wonderful first show.
Yeah, it can only
Rupert
go
Hound.
Wrong.
It can only get worse from here.
As a producer, that's why I would advise
Rupert
you.
Yeah.
That great start.
Rupert
great start.
Hound.
Pity you peaked quite so soon.
Yeah, it's hard peaking this
Hound.
Early,
Rupert
isn't
Hound.
It?
Rupert Hound.
But, well, look,
Rupert
we've got a few things keyed
Rupert
up. We're going to talk about the Psychopathic Society. If we ring it again. Do you think we can keep the ghost perv thing going, or is that...
Why not? It could become a meme.
It could become a meme. Yeah. Ghost perv. Hashtag ghost perv.
I mean, I think from now on, if you're listening to this and you have a ghost perv pairing in mind, just ring us up and say two names. We'll know what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Because is it going to be like a bit like Twitter? That in the early days of Twitter, it was quite good fun and people understood that we could share ideas with one another and that it was all just to be taken quite lightly.
Yeah.
And now where everything you tweet is meant to be some kind of like policy that you have adopted and thought about and that is staunch. That actually, for us tonight, Ghost Perv was quite fun.
Yes.
But once the hoi polloi catch on, once the outsiders attach themselves to this, then we're in murky waters because people are suggesting maybe we're encouraging this in real life. The conditions, let's just be very clear. If you were dead and a ghost, as a naturalist, what pairing would you be most interested
in? Not in a pervy way.
Not in a pervy way. We're not talking about there you are.
Just to see the mechanics of it.
Ghost trousers around your ankles. That is not what is going on here.
Not in the current climate, please.
Not in the current climate. We do not need that. We are talking about purely a fascination. So, yes, I think you're right. If we were just to have it as... you can ring up, you can say two names, and we now will know.
What you're
we will put you on the list, we will write down your suggestion, and we will enjoy it.
Rupert Hound.
Yeah. I think that's the way forward.
Yeah, it seems that way, right?
Should we do this again, like at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock when?
Today.
Today?
PM, though. AM, I'm going to be
a calendar. Hang on. I've got quite a lot on tomorrow. Oh, no, I could be here by 10.
Could you?
Yeah, no, I've got that. Yeah. Well, I could come. I'll be back at 10.
All right. I'll get in a bit earlier.
Lovely.
Just ready for a bit of peace, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, it's tricky at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all right if you're just at home to be at home, but when you know you've got work, you can't relax. You've always got one eye on the clock.
You know you've got stuff to do. I feel like I clock watch anyway, you know, with the school pickups and all that stuff, so come here, I could be clean for a bit.
Yeah. And you get treated, you know, in your own right.
Yeah.
You're not a father, a mother, a caregiver, a partner.
Yeah.
You are a professional.
I don't have to lock myself in the toilet.
Right, yeah, well, that's now worrying. Now I feel like that's something that should be addressed, possibly by some sort of law enforcement. But as long as you mean from your children, just
yeah,
for a moment's
I mean,
peace, as opposed to, you know, somebody terrorising you, then that's...
Well, the same thing, to be honest.
It's not a million miles away. Have you got a Nintendo Switch?
No, but I... sometimes Ian brings his in and he lets me have a go, but I'm terrible at it.
Are you?
Yeah.
I got Mario Odyssey this week.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it's one of the best video games of the last 10 years. So if you can get hold of one, I would advise that.
Give it a go.
We thank Dom in Manchester for his contribution. We thank everyone who joined us this evening. We thank you for listening.
By the way, Richard and Judy.